Little more volume in the headphones, please.
What's poppin', everybody? It's the Drew and Mike Show for Wednesday. And, boy, there's a lot to get into today.
Oh, yeah.
I started the day off really excited. Really excited. Feeling actual joy about a couple things. And then I got very depressed about something.
Wow.
Which will be big news to our podcast audience.
Oh, yeah.
I just felt really bad. And then there was some piling on, I think.
What? No way.
Let's see. I'll take care of this. My bookie sponsors are Facebook Live today. And you know what's interesting? I just saw where a former Bachelor contestant... Bachelor was last night. A former Bachelor contestant...
Jade Roper.
Won $1 million in a DraftKings competition. And they're saying she cheated?
What they're saying is... You're only allowed to have 150 limit, 150 entry limit.
Do you have to change every player in every entry?
No, you can have whatever you want.
Well, there was a big deal, but they said that she only three entries didn't have the quarterback, this one, or this one.
Well, her husband did 150 also. And
so easily, he's a different person.
I don't know. There's something about it. They're calling collusion.
DraftKings didn't want to pay out $1 million?
Oh, forget that. Just gamble the old-fashioned way.
That chick's hot, by the way.
Is she? I'm going to see her. Will you bring her up on the screen, please? MyBookie.ag. The promo code is Drew. Holidays are over, but here comes the Super Bowl, which is the biggest betting day ever, isn't it? I think it is.
The Super Bowl? Yeah.
Lots of prop bets. There's only one way to enjoy the Super Bowl more than you already would, and that's to have lots of bets on it. So every play matters. We've seen what this means. Let's see. New England is out. There's some really interesting bets in there. I don't know how strongly people feel, but people love to bet the playoffs. Big weekend this weekend, and then the next weekend, is it this 2 weekends from now that's the championship games?
Yeah, you have the divisional weekend is this weekend, then the weekend after championship game, and I think that's Martin Luther King weekend.
Oh, boy. And we got...
Or as Charlotte called it, MLJ Day.
Did he call it MLJ Day?
Yeah.
Is he canceled?
Charlotte, my daughter.
Oh, Charlotte called it that.
Charlotte.
I think she should have some credit for getting the M and the L correct.
I thought she said Charlie. Charlie said it. Now, if Charlie LaDuff of No BS News said it, obviously he'd be canceled. And by the way, the Soul of Detroit, there's actually a show up.
There's two up now.
What?
I know. Breaking news.
Oh, my God. MyBookie.ag. Use the promo code Drew. And they'll match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, look at the math here, you'll get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use our promo code Drew to activate the offer. Oh, the Jeopardy Championship. Oh, my God.
Tonight, I know.
Wow. Once again, that's promo code Drew to get your extra cash from MyBookie. MyBookie.ag. Bet, win, and get paid. Okay. So... is there something I wanted more about?
Well, you wanted to look at
a picture. Oh, yeah, I want to see
a picture. This is the girl here. She was on, you know, The Bachelor show, and then, of course, she got kicked off because she had to tell the guy, hey, by the way, I did a bunch of nudes back in the day.
So?
And he kicked her off for it.
Where are those?
He kicked her. Oh, who is that soft person?
Where are those
Let me
nudes?
Get my glasses. I can't see her
I'll
very
show
well.
You. Divert your...
Lord.
Divert the Facebook Live so we don't get booted off.
But here are her photos of her nudes.
Whoa!
These were out.
Wait.
Very, very attractive. Very shame.
Wait, what were these for?
I don't know. It's like a Playboy type thing.
But they're like fully spread eagle.
Yeah, it's they're straight up.
Wow, good for her.
He kicked her off. I would think he'd cancel the competition and pick her.
Yeah, he kicked her off. So she went on that Bachelor in Paradise show, and then she met another dude named Tanner. They got married. They had a kid. Blah blah blah. Now she's in trouble for cheating daily fantasy sports.
How dare you cheat daily fantasy sports?
Oh, yeah. They never cheat.
Yeah. That was the biggest thing forever, was the DraftKings people, employees, were winning all the FanDuel money, and the FanDuel employees were winning all the DraftKings. It was a big scam right from the beginning.
They colluded with each other.
Yeah.
What a crock of shit.
Do you remember the good old days when every other commercial was a DraftKings?
Yeah. I read half of them.
And I think I read the competitor one.
You did.
I did for a while.
Hey, they spent a lot of money.
I know.
They kept us on the air for...
They did.
They probably did keep us on the air.
Yeah.
We had successful too. Competitions, though. You know, it all started with all the money that I lost our team because we put together we put together that I think it was a FanDuel baseball lineup where somehow we hit the greatest possible lineup ever. We were ranked number one out of thousands and thousands of people. And I accidentally clicked the 50-50 instead of the tournament.
Oh, great.
Why did I think that was Maz's fault?
Well, because
Maz is upset about it.
He made a big deal about it. He was very angry at me. I think he was dependent.
Nice job! None of you!
Because if we would have split it up, we would have each gotten, you know, a couple grand, and he wanted
that
much.
So it really was that much?
He was mad.
It was a lot.
The Detroit News even did a story on me.
Oh, that's right.
It's so stupid because it...
is that where you come up? If I Google Brandon,
If you Google my name, yeah, you'll find it on there. And the opening
sentence... Who says newspapers are dead?
The opening sentence is, Brandon McAfee thought he hit the jackpot. It's like, oh! I think some of the numbers there are a little skewed.
You know, I have to say, and I keep track of this stuff just because I'm competitive, I'm always looking... When Neil Rubin did the story on us,
yeah,
and about No BS News and the Soul of Detroit, story. There are two episodes that are up suddenly at once. You couldn't get any of them.
It's like time traveling. You get to go all the way back to December.
What was he? Did he type a scroll last night to get all the notes out for both shows?
No, what it is he did not. The way I understand it is he did not want to post the episodes, and it wasn't a money issue, but he wanted all his paperwork back from Fox, his breakup paperwork. Because you're making a very odd face.
What, were they going to really object to the podcast?
Yeah.
They were?
Yeah, I think there was some... the way I understood it, there was probably some negotiating about a non-compete and what was allowed and what was not allowed.
There's nothing about a podcast in his contract. I can tell you that without looking at it.
Well...
That's from me, not from him.
It was a messy breakup, so I wouldn't be surprised if they said, you have to move out of the market for 6 months.
Brother...
Yeah, there's some stuff about, you know, disparaging.
You don't want to keep a Pulitzer Prize reporter around, brought the mayor down the city he's in. You wouldn't want to do that. You wouldn't want to cut him any slack. But
Who makes interesting stories to watch.
Yeah, and create a lot of content on his podcast done in this very basement. But, you know, since we're talking about ML Elric, I want to point out how successful the Scrub Alert was. We had the Fox 2 ML Elric website Scrub Alert.
ML Fox 2 website piece of garbage Scrub Alert.
Now, if we hadn't started the Scrub Alert, he'd probably still be up there.
It would.
It only took, was it two times we had a Scrub Alert?
Yeah.
And we checked, and he was still up there, and then boom, gone.
Yeah, someone got that down really quick.
Someone has found a photograph of ML Elric in a promo that's running. Is it current on Fox 2?
It is current. Paul sent an email yesterday. I think he posted it on Facebook, too. Ran it during the 5 o'clock news. I sent it to ML right away. He's like, what? I said, they're using your likeness to capitalize.
No.
Don't work there anymore.
Yeah, they got to write him a check for that. Are we going to have a... Should we have a Scrub Alert for the promo?
I think we should.
Okay.
ML Fox 2
promo!
Piece of garbage Scrub Alert.
That's cool the way you produced a new one.
Took a lot of work.
Did I hear something else in there?
Completely brand new.
I need to hear it again.
ML Fox 2
promo.
Piece of garbage Scrub Alert.
That's good. No, great job. Great work on that. It sounds just like the first one, except promo is in there. You got the guy to do a reread.
The best part about this one, though, it's a lot harder to edit the promo. They're going to have to pull that whole promo. And I don't know how many other great promos they have to replace it.
Hopefully we'll get at least a dozen plays out of the Scrub Alert. Can you get the Scrub Alert on... Is he cool enough to do the Scrub Alert on Soul of Detroit?
I don't know. Let him check with his lawyers first.
He's going to have to get something signed, I predict, before he can play the Scrub Alert.
Send your screenshots.
He's a good reporter.
He's going to be so mad.
A little bit of anal.
He gets so mad about it when we rag him for this stuff.
This is why he's good, though.
I know.
It is.
I know.
Okay. Are you that ignorant?
Well, while we're on alerts and breaking news and stuff like that, should we blow that all at once? Because the ABNN, there's something going... I heard there was breaking news on the ABNN.
This year's breaking news on the ABNN.
Happy 38th birthday.
The Antonio Brown News Network.
From your boy, AB number 84.
Stand by for some booming breaking news.
Booming.
I love the way Walter says ABNN. He really goes up on that. Okay, so Antonio Brown now has been challenged to a boxing match by Jake Paul.
Oh, great.
The great influencer.
Logan Paul.
Logan Paul. Okay.
Big brother.
Wow.
Yeah.
We should probably have an alert until I get those two names right. Because
they're the same. They're the same. Who cares?
I'm so
I don't ever. I don't want you to ever get those names correct.
They come from the same collab house.
Yeah. And the same vagina.
Collab house.
Yeah.
They do come from the same vagina, right?
You're absolutely right. That was worth pointing out.
It was a collab vagina.
Okay.
Think of all the crazy stuff they did in there.
Was the same penis collaborating with the same vagina?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, they look alike.
A lot of great content came out of that vagina.
I'm not sure.
What vagina has made the most content in this world?
I don't think that one's creating much content. I don't know. It could be crazy. But
probably Kris Jenner's.
And I think you're right.
Right.
Good call. Wait, we sound sharp today. I got to say it.
One content generating vagina.
Okay, the
collab
the what? AB.
Sorry, who said that?
The ABNN is reporting that AB has responded to the boxing challenge. And what did he say? Did he say he would take him on?
Yeah. I thought that's what he tweeted out.
Then why does he need to play football? He's got his
band.
Square up.
Square up.
Let's go. Well, see, here's the thing: is you gotta understand that Logan Paul is so big.
He is a big boy.
Logan and I mean, influence power.
No, but he's big.
He's influencer brand, and we knew that.
Yeah, he is cut. He's ripped. But this dude's so big that he can sell out arenas. I mean this. He's already done these boxing matches with other influencers. He fought that KSI guy. His brother was on the undercard. He got a whole bunch of influencers.
Are
to
they
fight.
Good fights? Are they really good punches? Or is it a joke? Is it like wrestling?
They're definitely not professionals, but these guys are pretty buff and they hammer each other. I don't know. It's a boxing match, but it sells. Everybody goes to this event and he makes a lot of money. So he's looking
at... I thought AB didn't need any money.
Well, he's got a whole lot of money. We know that.
Isn't a song about how much money he has?
Yeah, that's true. But
I feel like he's hurting the brand.
Logan Paul, he sees dollar signs. He wants to get AB, who's currently not doing
it. He's smart.
Anything.
No, it's honestly, I'll watch it. I would watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't you?
A fight with Antonio Brown?
Who would you want to win?
And an influencer?
No, whoever wins, I'll be delighted to see the one lose.
Yeah.
That'll feel so good. I think Antonio Brown, he'll kill him, won't he?
I would think Antonio Brown would be a lot faster. Don't you think he'd be able to?
Oh my God,
really speed in boxing.
Wouldn't that be cool, though, to see AB punched out?
He dry-gulched you? Now, wait a minute. That's your fault. Well, you got to keep your guard up. There's no excuse for getting dry-gulched.
Can we get him to train?
AB is 5'10", 186 pounds. So Antonio Brown's not a huge dude.
What's Logan the tale Paul, of tape for the Paul brother?
Logan Paul is 6'2", with that's a reach it. Of 76 inches. So, I mean, he's got the size advantage. I don't know.
That'd be great.
Gotta believe AB will kill him.
Honestly,
they both end up with brain injuries.
Here's a question I really don't know.
We
who
can
do you
dream.
Think is worth more right now?
Who's worth more?
Who's worth more? I'm going to say Logan Paul.
Logan Paul.
Logan Paul gotta is be. Worth $19 million.
Good God.
Well, Antonio Brown's worth more than $19
million. He should, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's got $30 million. All right.
Well, he showed us his bank balance was $24 million, wasn't it?
$50 million, wasn't it?
Oh, was it that high? I thought it was in the 20s. If it's 50, I don't want to know that.
Speaking of celebrity net worth, after talking about Merv Griffin and Merv Griffin's son, Tony Griffin.
Yes.
For the Jeopardy special, I looked up his net worth.
No.
Tony Griffin's net worth is $500 million.
Oh, my God.
He earned it.
It came up.
He was.
My father says everything's negotiable.
I think I know where you're going. Yeah.
Miraculously, his father's penis collaborated with his mother's vagina. And that's kind of miraculous if you know a lot about the story.
Very successful product. Kevin Hart, his net worth is $400 million. So the son of Merv Griffin is worth $100 million more. What's funny then, I wanted to look deeper into this. Merv Griffin, who died, when did he die? 2008? Maybe before
it's been,
that.
Been a
it's
while.
Been like 15 years. His net worth when he died was $1 billion. So Tony Griffin has lost half of his inheritance.
Merv Griffin made $1 billion making game shows?
Oh, yeah. He did a lot. He did a lot of stuff. He had his own show, too.
Yeah, talk show.
So
he wrote songs.
He's blowing $500 million out his ass in about 10 years.
I'm sure he'd point out, I had to pay taxes on that.
Okay. Well, you could
inheritance tax.
Most people make a little money on $1 billion.
I can make that much money in 5 seconds.
That's why people with $1 billion have an advantage over everybody else.
You're rich, you jerk.
Anything for the Hall Financial Hotline today?
Lots of things to try.
Really?
Yeah, we have a few things. I did get in touch with... Oh, Todd. Man. What's the name of that dude?
Todd. Todd rented his 5,000 square foot house out to Gus Williams, the NBA player, and he just trashed it. So now they're being sued. Now he's suing him.
How did I know the story before you finished it? As soon as you said NBA Gus player. Williams.
Todd.
So, but he answers if you want to try that. There's also.
That sounds funny. I think I want to hear that.
I don't know if you saw the 88 year old man who, quote, and this was his quote, he beat off the fox with a cane. He was attacked by a fox.
Oh.
And he's like, I beat it off with my cane.
Well, there's a lot of. Couple interesting elements of that story.
Yeah.
You see the 93-year-old shoot his property manager, or was it the maintenance guy?
Yes, what a crazy video.
Yeah.
He was so old holding that gun, but he shot that dude.
Did you know, okay, seriously, Shishal thought, the guy, the 93-year-old, was dressed all in black.
Oh, yeah.
In a black, he looked pretty cool.
He did.
For 93, he looked really cool.
I mean, he was moving like De Niro in The Irishman.
But a 93-year-old all dressed in black coming and just, hey, you let my place get flooded. Boom, boom. I mean,
he's an old timer, huh? Just look at him. Oh, he's so cute. Oh, just look at him.
He shot him first in the right leg. The guy falls to the ground, and then he shoots him a second time in the left leg.
Now, you know he's mad, but do you think there's part of him that's like, oh, fuck, I'm 93. I've never shot anyone.
Why not?
Someone in the comments said, he'll get life 3 weeks.
That's great.
There were a lot of funny comments.
That's really good.
Someone actually commented on the cop for roughly dragging the 93-year-old when the cop came in and
you just shot somebody. We could shoot somebody else. What's he talking about?
The world is just complete
mess. Don't tell me my business, devil woman.
You want some too, old man?
So we have a couple of options there. Yeah, I would love
the important Mama June story.
Yes, and Stan.
All right, bye.
Hall Financial sponsors.
Okay, bye.
The Hall Financial Hotline. Are you paying more than 4% on your mortgage? Do you have lingering high-interest credit card debt? You may or may not know that right now rates are within fractions of a percentage point of their lows in the last 10 years.
I know.
So why not save some money like Stan? I didn't realize he was involved in this.
Yeah.
A smart idea would be to call the company with over 1,000 five-star reviews that's recently been averaging 10 days from start to finish on listeners that have applied for a refinance of their mortgage.
Yes.
And that's Hall Financial. 10 days, it's over. You start saving money 10 days. Maybe for the next 25 years.
I know all the rules.
Good, because it's a little complicated. Not really. Not when Hall does it.
Bullshit.
DrewandMike.HallFG.com or call 248-308-5000 or click the link on our website or go to DavidHallMortgage.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS number 1467435. That just is the most perfect blow-off, that Stan drop.
Mm. It's too boring.
I mean the okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
He's used to blowing people off.
Pardon me?
Okay. So we got the ABN. Should we just blow out the breaking news since we have...
What was that?
There's so much breaking news, ABN.
Breaking news with Mort Krim.
This is actual Mort Krim breaking news.
What?
About Mort Krim.
Now, I'm immediately afraid that he's dead.
I didn't even think about that.
He's in his 80s.
He is.
He's not dead.
Boy, this story got moved off their website pretty fast. Whoa. Because I can't find it now.
Not a lot of interest,
oh,
eh?
Man.
Didn't you print it?
I think I just sent it to Drew. Basically, Mort Krim's company, Mort Krim.
Yeah, I got it. I got it.
Has been sold. His marketing firm.
Okay, if you don't know who Mort Krim is, he was an anchor on Channel 4 here from, I don't know, 70. He worked with Jessica Savage in Philadelphia.
Right.
She became a network news person before drowning in about 2 feet of water because she was so hammered that her fiance, I think it was, backed his car into this, it was a little, I don't know, a little water, I won't say a river because the water was... Maybe 3 feet.
Yeah, very shallow.
And she drowned in very shallow. So that's how fucked up she was. That's the most interesting thing about it.
I'm Mort Krim, which in French means death and crime.
And she was very hot. And so Mort moves on, and he's number one in Detroit at Channel 4 for quite a while. And then he and Bill Bonds battled. No,
I
actually,
know who you are. We're friends on Facebook.
You know what? Bill Bonds hammered him for a while.
I was gonna
say,
I thought Bill was bigger.
Eli says that Mort was teetering on... being blown out.
Oh, really?
And they had, I don't know if it was a Tigers playoffs or something.
Oh, well,
Tigers
did he
94?
Thank Al Ackerman for bringing him back?
I think Mort did it on his own. He thinks he did it on
Al Ackerman did Bless You Boys, though. That was really the hook.
Well, he was on Mort's newscast.
Yeah, I know. So we should thank...
You should thank Al Ackerman. Anyway, the breaking news is so not breaking or...
I know. I mean, I'm shocked there's a story on it.
It is funny now how when something happens and the news or Channel 4, or especially the news and Free Press, and it lands in the top six stories.
Yeah.
And then you can watch as it goes toward the top. Like Mike Clark was second, I think, as soon as we announced that Mike had died.
Yeah.
It was on top. It was the first thing you saw for probably a day. And then it dropped down to two, and I was kind of like, oh, no, it's the number three story now. He won't be in one of the windows soon.
No, for God's sake. For God's sake.
As dumb as that is. Well, Mort landed on the thing and then was quickly off it.
I found the story because I sent it to you, but I can't find it on their website anymore. Not even under the entertainment.
No one cares.
Under the business section?
He hasn't been an anchor for 20 years. Well, he started a marketing company, and that was it. You're like,
20 years.
Nobody pushes her voice better than Mort Crumb. I'm going off the air. Harmon, I wish you the best of luck. I'm starting my own marketing company?
Yes. Yeah.
I've got a production company and a marketing company. And the next thing you know, those Mort Crumb's second thoughts were running on sappy radio stations all over the country.
Yep.
I heard it many times. I'm like, what? People really pay for this? There's really advertising?
When we think of a name.
Sorry.
And then it would be like, when you do something wrong, say you're sorry. It feels good to say you're sorry. It's good to forgive people. And that's today's second thought from Mort Crumb. And then.
He's so deep.
And then he is mentioned by Will Ferrell as the inspiration for Anchorman. Yeah,
blew him up again.
Which is not really it's not really a compliment, is it?
Sure it is. Everybody loves that guy.
Parodies.
Do you know who I am?
What's the saying? Parody is the greatest form of flattery.
There was something very lovable about Ron Burgundy.
I'm kind of a big deal.
There was something lovable about him in a strange way. Then, the ultimate insult. I mean, there are people who are expressing outrage right now. Besides me, I'm not sure who. But Mort Crumb was featured frequently on Detroiters.
Yes.
A local man is in dire need of a kidney tonight, and he's not telling anyone why.
And, he was funny on there, too. The clips they used were great, mm-hmm. and he produced new clips for them. They'd be in the bar watching TV, and all of a sudden Mort would come out with something really stupid. And the show was...
You know who pissed me off? Dale Stern, the principal of Diana Lewis Elementary, who permanently canceled Pizza Fridays. Now, if pizza's not healthy, how come I've never seen a fat Italian? You, sir, are a pepperoni.
I liked the show. It was funny. Yeah. And they had a lot of Detroit references from when they were growing up in the aughts in the 90s. Mm. And I was just, I don't do this very often, but honestly, I felt like, hey, we're a bigger deal than Mort Crumb.
Well,
the fuck?
Mitch Albom was on that show, too.
I know. That made me think they were just looking to give the show a boost, and because we were so local.
Sure. Well, we would have given it a boost.
I thought we could have helped. And that was why I felt so good when the show started today.
Hey, look. There's Mitch on TV.
I mean,
Can truly, I just point out one more thing about the Mort Crumb story about his marketing firm being sold?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, it was sold for $3, was it? Or was it $2?
it was quite the deal. Because it was sold to the executives at the guy. Basically, Mort's retiring.
Like, well, no, if it was worth so much, couldn't they put it out in the market instead of trying to suck something out of the credit partners?
Right of first refusal. But, it's supposed to be breaking news. It was actually...
Were there any other bids?
It was sold.
I don't think so.
It was sold on December 31st, so it took a week for the news to get out.
Well, it was a tax advantage, no doubt. They were the other partners are taking a loss.
You're right, yeah.
For buying them out.
You're probably right.
This week's chump is my son's best friend, Tucker. If you're coming to someone's house for a sleepover, you don't get a nosebleed. That's all my stuff you bled on, Tucker.
Why isn't that in the story, mentioning the tax relief?
I have a feeling I was part of it, but anyway, good for Mort. We're all happy for him, and I guess he's truly retiring now. I don't think I believe that, though.
Did you know he has a book on Amazon?
Is that, let's see, the 47,928th most popular book currently selling?
It is, overall, it's in 2,765,263rd place.
A really very successful book.
See, I gave him too much credit.
He's actually in 36,391st place for motivational self-help books.
Oh, my God.
Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
It's called Second Thoughts, 100 Upbeat Message for a Beat-Up America. or for Beat Up Americans.
You really caught the zeitgeist there, didn't you?
It's a collection of 100 essays reflecting celebrated broadcasters' conclusions about life.
36,000th in motivation.
Well, it's been out for 20 years.
There's 36,000. Oh, there's 36,000 motivational books? Yeah. Okay, if you're going back 20 years, sure.
Well, I mean, that's everything on Amazon. It's got 3 reviews, all of them 5 stars, so I'm not going to knock it.
20 years.
Wait, it's been out 20 years? It's got 3 reviews?
20 years.
One in 2013, one in 2014, and one in 2009.
Yeah, but who knows when it was brought up online.
Would Detroiters be on now if they had used us in clips instead of Mark Krim?
This is one review. I grew up watching Mark Krim on Detroit local news channel 4, and I always admired him. To be honest, I had a small crush on him. How could I not?
What a twisted fetish that would be.
That commercial makes me just a little horny.
No one. I mean, apparently one person. But I would have thought that no one has ever had a crush on Mark Krim. Now, he's a very successful guy.
How could I not, considering how charismatic, articulate, and funny he is? Despite his retirement from broadcast news, Krim forged on with a radio show. Then he did?
I remember that.
Then published a delightful column called Second Thoughts in the Free Press. This marvelous book is...
I guess the Millersville, Tennessee market picked him up on the Mark Krim. I bet he called it a network at one point.
Well, who does that? Do you think Mort
we
saw
We have
that?
4 shows!
No, do you think Mort might have... I don't know. He's probably...
We're an international show, actually.
If Mort wasn't happily married, do you think he saw this review and tried to drag down the lady that wrote it?
Well, maybe.
I get it. My grandma had a huge crush on Chuck Gatica. Really? Huge crush.
Well, now that's 2 people I would not think anyone would have a crush on. But Chuck's very nice. Mort's cool. Actually, Mort's pretty cool. I take it all back.
I just like to see what else people review. This person also reviewed The Grapes of Wrath, in case anybody wasn't convinced.
Oh, yeah. There's nobody
fantastic
has
book
any opinion of The Grapes of Wrath. I mean, finally, someone... Someone puts their ass on the line for The Grapes of Wrath.
Chapter 1.
Is it 1937?
Yeah, Great Depression.
The great John Steinbeck.
It's a little simple.
The great John Steinbeck, back in 1937. I believe there's for those of you who like things to be kind of on the X-rated side, I believe there's somebody sucking a boob at the end of that book.
Lenny?
1939.
Isn't there?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
This person also reviewed...
Oh, nice that I remember that.
Well, what a shock. You would remember.
I have to tell you something really funny.
Boob sucking moment
on the subject, which is more interesting than
it's probably your
this
teacher got
reviews.
You to read it.
True crime on the ID channel. I watch so much that frequently I'll start watching something and go, "Oh, I remember this because I've seen it before."
Yeah.
If you go through like The Interrogator, which is a show I like, because they show a lot of interrogations in police stations, which are pretty cool. You'll see "watched" next to every episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that happens a lot.
DVR.
Every now and then I go, "Oh, I watched this one." I pop it up and I have watched it. Or I watched 5 minutes and decided it sucked. So anyway, funniest things will make me remind that I watched an episode. There was a little clip of this kid, and they're describing a family video. And they go, "And 5-year-old Bark does a little moonwalk for the family Christmas party." And I'm like, "I saw that moonwalk." I watched this, damn it.
You remember the dumb home movie.
I know, the dumb home movie. Oh, brother.
Yeah.
Speaking of moonwalks, has Ralph Northam done a moonwalk for us yet? The Virginia governor? He's dying to.
It's
been about a year. Do you think he'll do it on the year anniversary of being busted in blackface?
The first day out of office.
Could you imagine?
Or the day he announces he's not running again. Okay, so here's why I felt good. I mean, it was like a James Brown. I feel good!
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to our show, which I don't do a lot. So you don't think I'm a complete self-involved narcissist. But every now and then I'll put the show on just to see what it sounds like. And usually my observation is the drops are just phenomenal. I just can't believe it. I'm like, "Well, I barely heard that drop. I don't remember Brandon hit that drop." Just the speed.
Thank you.
Well, it could be either one of you.
It's me.
But I usually give Brandon credit.
Yeah, that's fine.
Actually,
thank you.
You know what's funny? Depending on the drop, a lot of times I can tell who hit it.
Yeah.
Because there's certain drops you guys both like a lot.
Thank you for that.
Separately, and then some you like together that you'll play in stereo occasionally,
I know,
which is amazing.
Pretty, same page.
Anyway, no, compliments all around on the drops. So I'm listening to the show, and I'm listening to Matt Farley. Matt Farley, who's the world's most prolific songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, first of all, Matt is very talented. He really is. I know maybe there's a lot of jokes about some of the obtuse songs he writes, or that maybe not a whole lot of people can relate to a song about Rochester Hills, Michigan.
Sure.
And he does seem to be phoning in some just to up his songwriting totals.
Ferndale, Michigan.
Yeah.
What a nice city. Oh, yeah. Good old Ferndale.
Is he going to mention City Hall?
Cruising down 9 miles in Ferndale, Michigan. What a good community. Oh, 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 yeah. I like it so very much. So many nice.
So there's the talented Matt Farley. Berkeley, Michigan.
See who played that one.
Michigan.
He put more into your home. He got the bass out.
No.
Well, what a bassy
nice city. Oh, yeah.
So you can play anything.
I really like Berkeley. Let's hear it for Detroit. Let's hear it for the Motor City.
This feels like Detroit, doesn't it?
Let's yeah.
Listen to real some funky Motown music.
Okay, so Matt Farley. Mark and I start talking about him when you came in. I was listening to the show. And we're talking about booking him. You know, the fact that we tried to get him to come to town. Yeah. And there's always, it's like the artistic side in him comes out, which rarely does. Mm-hmm. He's like, well, I like playing with my band and playing original, you know, like
it was almost songs. Too much for him to handle.
And it was almost too much to deal with, so we dropped it real fast. And then I think we revisited it once. But anyway, between his 20,000 songs and his occasional artistic nature, I feel like his insistence of quantity over quality.
Yes.
I feel like he's a tenth of a gene away from Elton John. Like, he really, he could be spectacular. There's just some little tiny...
Something's holding him back.
Yeah, if we could just gene splice the Gene Simmons promotional gene or one-tenth of it into Matt.
Ooh, wow. Although, you know, what's funny is, you know, Elton needed Bernie Taupin. Matt doesn't need anybody.
Maybe he does need somebody. Well, that's the other funny thing about Matt. Was that he proudly announces, and he's done this before in the show, that, you know, I made $56,000 last year. Now, who proudly announces that they made $56,000 last year? Now, granted,
I don't get it.
He's making a living as a musician, and I think he has other income streams.
Well, that's the thing. Is
I think
that,
his wife works, yeah.
No, the $56,000 is just from streaming. He also makes quite a bit of money making the custom songs, too.
Well, he made.
I got no money. I'm very poor individual.
But the $56,000 was just a very funny amount to brag very, about.
Yes,
and nothing. There's nothing wrong with making $56,000. There's a lot of people making $56,000 who are getting by just fine. Oh, or that two people working making that, then you've got a six-figure income.
I used to be poor. I used to have like no money. I used to be poor. I thought my life was terrible. I wanted a lot of money, but I didn't have a lot of money.
And sounds like a number one hit to me.
But I didn't have a lot of money.
Okay, so Matt then proceeds to give out his home phone number twice without a second thought. Most people would not do that on our show. And he also said, and this is what I really felt good about, he said that going on Jimmy Fallon, he got far less activity than he gets from our show. And he said he's probably made 300 songs. How many have we really plugged him that many times?
Yeah.
We've played him a lot.
We have.
He probably made $56,000 just from our streams.
But how often do we give out his phone number? Or
not
he's
often.
Hard to find in his songs. And again, this is the one-tenth of the Elton John, you know, one-tenth of a gene from Elton John. His songs are under different names, too, like
that's
Toilet
true.
Bowl Cleaners, Matt Farley's this, Matt Farley's that.
It's a tough Google search.
Paparazzi, that's another band he has.
He could make 100 million in stream, or he could have 100 million streams if it was all easy to find. So we need to talk to Matt. But anyway,
manager. Does he need a manager?
He might.
Like Murray Wilson? He needs Murray Wilson.
Obviously. The only manager. No, Matt's a great guy, and I really enjoyed listening. I mean, he's a fun
he's
guest.
He's very funny.
He's
yeah.
just cool.
The look on his face yesterday when we busted him for not knowing the songs, and he sheepishly admitted it was priceless.
And you know what?
I know.
We asked him about songs that he actually has done well with, that he's got lots of streams, that he knows we played on the show. He didn't know. And not only that, he was too busy to go in and figure it out.
He needs at least more than 3 hours. That's how much time he had.
Okay, he might need three Elton John jeans and one Gene Simmons
and
jean.
And a Bernie Taupin.
But we love Matt Farley.
He's
stream
great.
His songs. Stream them regularly. Then the other reason.
Or get a custom call and send it to us, and we'll listen to it. If it's great, we'll play it. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to get him to write some.
Yeah, we do. We should know. We should actually be paying him money, too. I would say let's put $1,000 aside. Let's get him to write a bunch of sort of, I don't know, feature stuff.
That'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Scrub Alert, but only not the Scrub Alert. Good job on that promo, Scrub Alert, by the way.
Oh, thanks. That one, it's completely different than the original.
I'm so glad you saved all the tracks.
Yeah.
NNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNNN WML Fox 2
promo.
Piece of garbage. Scrubble.
Thanks.
Beautiful. Should we record the 5 o'clock news to see that shows up probably at the very beginning of the news, right?
You know what? I had this pause. I don't want to go too far off. Can I just show you that video I was telling you about before the show today about Harvey Weinstein?
Oh, we're about to lose it?
So we're watching Harvey on the CBS Morning Show, and they showed him with his walker, of course, tennis balls intact, and hunched over it. And I said, hey, Drew, did you see the video of him walking to the court where he goes up the stairs? And you hadn't seen it yet. And
no.
That's what this video is, because I thought Harvey was doing the act of, you know, being feeble, hunched over, sexual assaulter. And then he gets to the stairs and someone just moves his walker to the top of the stairs and he just bounces right up the steps.
What?
So here's the video. Give me your opinion.
Today, jury selection is underway in the Harvey Weinstein rape trial.
Approaching the stairs.
The movie mogul is charged with 5 sex crimes against 2 different women. Many other women who claim Weinstein assaulted them are also expected to be at the courthouse carefully watching his trial.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll have an update for you from our New York studio.
He pays millions of dollars for lawyers who don't tell him, look, we're going to stretcher, we'll carry you up the stairs.
Or going to put that. Shouldn't he be in a wheelchair and they'll use the ramp?
The 2 tennis balls on the walker, though, are a great touch because it suggests that, boy, he's really running out of dough. They had to put a couple tennis balls on the back of the walker so that it would stop.
That's the only thing you do. You never see a walker with anything but tennis balls on them.
I feel like someone should have already taken that idea and run with it. They really can't produce a walker that has something besides tennis balls. Did the walker people put the tennis balls on there?
No. No, they could be making so much if they
could
made.
Could they take the hint from all the people using their product, maybe?
I'm looking at products that are sold like separately, third-party products that like the tennis ball goes into. I don't know why they don't make them.
Yeah, they
tennis ball's not provided.
They could be double-dipping. They can say, these are the only official ones that go with this walker.
Exactly.
You can't just use Wilson tennis balls.
The terrible thing about Harvey Weinstein is he's being arraigned in New York City for multiple sexual assaults. And while he's being arraigned, they charge him in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's very sad.
And when he got into court and everybody got settled in, the judge got up and said, sorry, we're going to have to dismiss 3 jurors. They were all assaulted by Harvey in the hallway on the way in here.
We need a new bailiff, too. She was kind of attractive, that bailiff.
What a shame.
I'm basing that only on the drawing from the court drawer.
You know what we're going to need to do? Ficus plant, too. Just got word. Harvey got some relief in the ficus plant just outside the courtroom. Oh, boy.
In all seriousness, did you see he did get yelled at by the judge?
No.
What do you think he did that the judge threatened to jail him immediately for?
Okay, did he say something or do something?
He did something.
Right there then?
Yeah.
Right then?
So they started court, and I guess they were starting to talk to jurors already.
Was he on his phone?
Yep.
What?
The judge said, is this really the way you want to end up in jail for the rest of your life by texting in violation of an order? He was sitting there texting on his phone.
And he's not supposed to text?
No.
Put him in fucking jail!
So then he turned over his cell phone to somebody.
Such bullshit, because honestly, if he's doing it at home or something, that's bad enough, and they should haul him down there. We know what he did, but he's doing it right in front of the fucking judge.
It gets worse. So he turned his cell phone over to someone and had 2 other cell phones.
Harvey had 2 other cell phones.
The judge yelled at him because a closed-eyed Weinstein lowered his head at the defense table. With repeated apologies, the defense assured Burke that they would ensure Weinstein did not have access to a cell phone in the court going forward.
Harvey!
And the judge said, I'm not looking for apologies. I'm looking for compliance. He had 3 fucking cell phones on him.
Oh, my God. What an asshole.
And this is kangaroo court.
Sounds like he really gets it.
The prosecution there's been this battle going on because they want to introduce evidence of 72 photos. Did you hear about this?
72 photos in his phone?
72 photos overall that I guess will help prove that he sexually assaults people.
Really?
Or 72? Some evidence that corroborates, you know, some of the claims that women saw in him. But out of these 72 images, seven of them are Harvey nude.
Great.
The defense is like, you're just trying to humiliate him, which I think the prosecution should go, no, no, we think Harvey's pretty hot. Why would this humiliate him? He looks great. Nude photos of Harvey are going to be introduced as evidence.
Got to impress, too, that, you know, like Cosby, you have all these victims who can't charge him. It's hard to get these.
Yeah.
It's hard to find people guilty of these things after a few years, but they all show up there. I mean, doesn't it tell you, you got about 100 people who are very professional people for the most part who say he assaulted them. That's too big a coincidence.
Yeah. Do you think some of those people are a little bummed that Rose McGowan shows up?
Yes.
She kind of hurt the case.
I don't think she helps.
Because she's not part of the case, but she's so forward and loud that she's going to get all the cameras on her.
And she's very volatile, probably because of her. She works disadvantaged somehow.
Yeah.
I was so pissed about his attorney, who's a woman, of course. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what? As a woman, I can tell he didn't do any of this stuff. You know, that's why they're trying to create the illusion that, oh, he's got a woman representing him. He couldn't have done anything because no woman represent a creep like that.
She'll quit after he assaults her.
Hopefully.
He can't not be
around. They'll settle it. They'll get an NDA. She'll get a couple million extra bucks. I'm listening to his attorney, by the way, say that, you know, it's going to be almost impossible to get a fair trial. They want to sequester the jurors. I'm going, no, he's the last guy that won't get a fair trial because the nature of the charge is very difficult to prove. The cases are old. He had all this fucking power and people were scared to death of him. And he still has millions of dollars, and millions of dollars will buy you a not guilty verdict. So don't fucking tell me. Yeah.
Well, look at it. He's already gotten away with so
hard
much
to
anyway.
Get a fair trial. Oh, I hate when people like that do that.
That lawyer's pretty hot, by the way.
Ah, she's got a weird, she's got really? Weird eyes.
She does?
Know.
Let me see.
Let me take a look.
Her eyes. Let's see her eyes.
She's too attractive for him to be around.
Oh, wait, that nose on that profile. Oh, boy, she looks mad.
She's got a banging body, though.
Oh, she's...
I don't know. She's pretty.
She's too cute for him to be around, clearly.
She's too cute for that guy in that
picture. Wouldn't leave him alone with her. Okay, so reason number two, I was feeling mirth today.
Mirth.
Actual mirth.
Nothing worse than mirth.
No, I felt good. I really did. It dissipated, but I did feel really good. And the other reason I felt good was because, you know, when we're off for a couple weeks,
I feel good.
It's always strange, you know, how many people download when we're off. They listen to older shows. You see the shows that weren't doing as well filling in. And it's all good for the most part. But when we came back, I was kind of wondering, gee, it seems like we'll have a real poppin' show when we first come back because we haven't had a new show for a while. So it didn't pop that much on Thursday. And I was like, would everyone forget about us over the holidays?
Don't feel good.
And then Monday, I love that drop. The Monday show did pretty well. And today's on its way. So, you know, all right, it's all good. So I thought, well, gee, I wonder how it's holding up. It should be holding its place on the charts. And I checked the charts, and I think it was 115 this morning, which is pretty good in our category.
Okay, yeah, I'll take it.
And I just start looking down at shows that are similar to us because I want to be ahead of them. I don't look ahead of us. I always look behind us, go, ha ha! and at 160, I saw, who are these podcasts?
That's good for
I'd
them.
Never, you know, I usually look at the top 200 or top 250. I'd never seen them in there. And there they are at 160. And I was pumped, and I took
good
a picture
show,
of it.
That's why. Yeah.
It is a good show. And I sent the picture to Carl. And Carl wrote me back and said, these are your people.
Wow.
These are your people downloading the show. We haven't had this many downloads in over a year.
Hey.
Yeah.
Carl, good to see you.
So it just got me feeling that, first of all, that our audience is commerce.
Constantly,
they're just great commerce.
Constantly amaze me.
I know. It
they
blows
really
my
do.
Mind.
You guys are unbelievable.
The Jimmy Fallon thing was incredibly cool. And I think it says something about how ineffectual he is.
He's terrible.
And how wonderful we are. But
it just made me think of.
That's just like the coolest thing anyone's ever said to me.
anyway, I I like Matt's music. He's a great guy. WATP rocks, and apparently we've helped both of them, and that's great.
Well, some people are saying like, that WATP is getting some praise on the show because someone doesn't want them to destroy the show.
Well, they can destroy it. They want to.
I am fearing that privately because he is listening to the show now.
Uh-oh.
He alleges that he likes it.
Well, here's the thing. He's not going to destroy you. He'll destroy Brandon or me or Trudy.
We'll see. That's kind of an interesting thing to veer ahead at.
That's okay.
Will they ever trash the show?
I think we're used to it,
Brandon. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He's invited me on the show, too, and I'm kind of excited.
I think we should have him on.
What show would I want to go through on WATP?
I think we could find a couple. The
Tom Tabak Show?
Oh, my God.
That's low-hanging fruit. You could do better than that.
That would be fun, though. I mean, there's nothing like the Tom Tabak Show.
I'm surprised
nothing.
They must not know. I'm surprised they haven't done the Tom Tabak Show.
I'm one of six people who are aware of that show.
Well,
so
it audience.
Is unlikely. I really enjoy when they get into Stuttering John.
Yeah.
Because
Topher Grace.
Yeah.
I suggested Topher Grace. He didn't answer. But, you know, I want to listen to Topher Grace again. That show has fallen completely off the charts. Nobody's
listening
to it.
Does he even do it anymore?
Yeah, I think he does. Or maybe finish the season. But that show, drives me crazy about podcasting is when, you know, on those occasions like today, when I do look at, what are the new shows and what are we doing? And, you know, there's Artie Lang. He's back. And Artie's in the top. He was in the top 10 when Artie first came back. Because he was a new show.
Yeah.
So they give you all these points for getting new accounts. And then I was thinking, I think Artie's going to drop him. He's going to say something. So I'm kind of watching him. And it goes down to 44. And now it's like 65 or 70. So it's still strong. I mean, obviously, and he's sober too.
I like Artie.
It's probably a much better show. So I mean, I'm rooting for Artie. I'm happy for him.
He legit
Listen to him. He's got words to say.
He legit looks really good right now too. I'm hoping he stays
really?
On it.
Well, the exception of the flat nose.
Well, I think he's getting work done to fix it.
Is he? Okay, good.
Hey, wow.
The guy that does celebrity surgery on E! Channel, he said he would fix Artie's nose if he was sober for a year.
Oh, really?
It hasn't been a year yet, so.
The tough thing is Artie's touring, and, you know.
I think that's stupid. I think he's insane to tour, but I'll wish him well. Anyway, I think I'd rather listen to WATP, honestly. I don't know why that the concept is so fabulous, and there's a lot of other ways you go to it. It's called Who Are These Podcasts? iTunes, Carl and Rotating Hosts, and they do, as many of you know already, people are binge. It's one of those shows, if you like it, I think you'll binge it. So that was good. So that was a great start to the day. So the third thing cool that happened, and I'm getting to the really shitty thing that happened. Am I making the show all about me today so far?
It's okay. It should be all about you.
I think it should.
I'm serious.
That's what they say in podcasting. The show's you. They're there for you because they have to dig deep to get. They can't just turn on the radio. I mean,
that's just like the coolest thing anyone's ever said to me.
And the part that makes me laugh about that is the corollary, which is all the people you can just turn on the radio, all those charity listens that they get.
Yeah. Background noise.
I could name names, but I won't. So anyway, before I tell you the third great thing, maybe you've heard about the infamous Jim Bentley, who's now slinging rides with our friends and studio sponsors at Zot Ford and Holly. Bentley finally tired of transporting the kids around in that death trap and decided the best way to get a new Ford was to start selling them himself because they give you a car when you sell for Zot Ford, assuming that you'll sell enough cars. And Jim's doing well so far.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Cool.
I think he's surprised.
Thank you.
Good for that. And then Mrs. Bentley, of course, his mother, the second one. Not the one that wears the pants, the one that used to wear the pants.
I agree with my wife.
Actually, the one that never wore the pants because Jim was on her cell phone plan as of a year ago. He's in his mid-30s. Anyway, she is really hoping that he'll get on his own plan and pay her for
good luck.
Bills in the past. But we'll see about that. Anyway, if you want a newer pre-owned ride and you'd love it to be simple, fast, fun, and easy, all the while busting Bentley's balls in person, go see Jim Bentley and our friends at Zot Ford and deals in the D.com. And then, quick teaser, the third good thing involves a Black Crow, original Black Crow. Yes, the band, the Black Crows. So that's pretty cool.
No
way. Cool, and it's uncool. It's complicated. Luke Nowacki is also a friend of the show, and he listens to the show. That's something I'm finding is that advertisers that listen to the show, there's nothing better. Like Scott Cunneth, who hasn't been on the show because he went back to radio.
Oh, I know.
He's still selling houses. And I'm delighted, by the way, that people are calling him. He's still selling houses to people from when he was advertising here. Drew Franklin, too, with security. So get back on the show.
Yeah.
We've been ripped off. Luke Nowacki listens to our show. He listens to No Filter Sports. He sponsors Charlie Leduff, No BS News, and so on and so forth. I don't know about the Soul of Detroit. I'm not sure where that's at.
Yeah,
that sounds like a snub. So, yeah. He's probably pissed about the notes taking so long.
No, I would. I know I am.
There's a lot of conversation about it in social media.
And then he tried to throw me under the bus.
And why does ML respond to it all? Why does he just do the notes?
Oh, because he loves to.
He's so busy responding to people on social media about not doing the notes that he's not doing the notes.
He's unemployed. He's got plenty of time.
Anyway, Luke Nowacki, big supporter of the Red Shovel Network. And Luke is a financial planner, and many of you need a financial planner. It's incredible how many people, and I know a few of them, who get to 55 or, God, I don't know, what am I going to do when I retire? What am I going to live on when I retire? I mean, Social Security, I don't have a pension. Well, that's what Luke Nowacki does. He tries to help you plan the future and help you outlive your money. The term Trudy used. Trudy has a lot of unique terms, doesn't she? Played out.
Yes. I
like that term.
It could almost be a segment, what Trudy thinks is played out now. Played out by Trudy.
I think you're onto something there. Although she's better. I think when she's spontaneous, we could try it, though. Call Luke Nowacki at 248-663-4748. Let's see where you're at and where you're going and find you a plan. If you don't have a plan, you should have one. 248-663-4748. Security Investment Advisory Services, other Reliance Associates, corporate member, FINRA, SIPC. Reliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned other entities in our marketing and product services reference here, independent of the Reliance Associates Incorporated.
Should I put it into bonds? I need a financial advisor.
That's Luke's jingle.
I have no idea what's going on.
He's such a good financial advisor. He gets it for free because it's already done.
I didn't know Luke was one of the 300 people that called Matt Farley.
My short-term financial goals.
I made $56,000.
Okay, before I mention Steve Gorman, I just want to say this, that every time we do an event, I always say, that's it. That's my last event. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing any more. They're exhausting. I get nervous before them. I don't know why. Nothing to be nervous about. Well, you know what? I'm worried that there's not going to be a crowd.
Yeah.
That's what I'm worried about. And it's
And plus, I think you feel like there's a major responsibility to entertain everybody the whole time they're there.
That too. In fact, Gabara was trying to get me to do something at Mesa. And, you know, I love Mesa. Obviously, I have all the self-interest in the world.
Thank you, Steve.
But I couldn't quite describe, why do I not want to do this? Why do I, you know, and Steve's an advertiser, so I initially want to make Steve happy always. And he's a partner in Mesa, too. So finally,
Steve, to me, just kind of seems like the name of somebody who has absolutely nothing going on in their life.
It finally dawned on me that I want the pressure to be off me. Let's get a guest. And that way, if it fails, it's the guest's fault.
You've always been that way.
And then the guest, too, is something special. You know, if...
What are you laughing at?
If it fails, it's the guest's fault.
Yeah, well, no, it's...
absolutely.
It's true.
Fucking guest didn't bring anyone in.
Yeah.
I didn't mention that I'd be there because this fucking guest was...
Just thinking about your appearance in Phoenix there in the mall.
Oh, with Rich Little. Exactly.
Scarred Rich Little's fault. Long time.
Oh, I'm still scarred. I thought about that a couple days ago. I was... Seriously, it lives in my head.
Rich really Little?
It was so bad. I mean, it was that horrifying to... Okay, we were at the station for all of 10 days.
Yeah.
We'd barely been on the air there. And as soon as we got on the air, they said, we agreed to this thing with Rich Little at this mall. The mall's not finished, but the part you're going to be in is finished. And I'm already going, Rich Little in a mall that's not... What the fuck?
And Rich Little was already pretty much done by then.
No, this was 1989, and I thought, Rich Little, isn't he a million years old?
Yeah.
I mean, he's actually alive. He probably made a comeback because being old got old.
Well, last time
he became new.
When you brought this up before, didn't we find out that he was still touring? I'll look it up.
He is still touring.
Continue the story.
He is.
Let's see where Rich
Little
is.
He's 81.
He hasn't had a new voice since, 1973? He did Nixon. He used to do Nixon. I mean, then he did.
He is a regular performer at the Laugh Factory in Vegas.
No way. When Tuesdays at 11 a.m. in the morning?
What's their target audience there?
Throughout
75
the show,
to death?
He displays many of the charcoal sketches he's drawn of celebrities that he's impersonated.
No one wants to see that.
That is the worst connection to his original talent I could possibly imagine. Oh, my God, I can get a sketch of the person that Rich Little impersonates?
His one-hour show is a career retrospective, including video highlights from his TV career. So
he's phoning it in.
Yeah.
Video highlights. Yeah, I really can't top myself. I'm 81. But
he's not worried about doing appearances.
No, he's not worried at all. See, he's figured it out. He's got the attention on his video clips, his charcoal drawing. What the fuck is that?
I'm gonna look them up.
Do they charge people for the charcoal drawings? That should be given out at the door.
I'm looking at his talent agency website.
Everybody gets a Rich Little original charcoal drawing.
Look at him, dude. It's something.
Oh God!
Something you see out of a middle school.
What? Wait.
Oh wait, the Tom Cruise one's not bad.
It's
not
bad. Tom Cruise one's pretty good, but the Ronald Reagan, one.
Okay, the person. I realize that it's being said that Rich Little did both of those. The person that did Ronald Reagan did not do Tom Cruise. That's not the same artist.
No,
don't tell me Rich Little did both of those.
Here he is with George Burns. Oh, and this one is Dean Martin.
Okay.
I'm thinking of joining this talent agency website just so I could get behind the password protected writer for Rich Little that posted on the site. Would you love to know what Rich Little's writer is for appearances?
By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
Well, I suspect part of it is three beefy security guards because he showed up with three security guards. And I'm like, what, is Rich in trouble or something? What's he being arrested for? Because I couldn't imagine why he would need security. And, of course, if you were there in the uncompleted mall, you would know he didn't need security because as hard as Zip and I promoted it, we got out there and because we were new and I think we were 20 minutes early and there's chairs sitting out in the center of the mall. There's the velvet ropes and there's a line, probably like a little carpet line or something. And there's three really old ladies at the front of the line who have something to sign. And that's it. And we sat down, which subjected us to talking to the three people the whole time we were sitting down.
Well, that could be kind of fun.
What kind of station was this? Is it adult contemporary?
It was beautiful music on a satellite. And then we came in, and they thought, oh, you guys will blow all those people out, which we did. And then it was like a hybrid. It was like a rock. Let's see, was it a rock AC hybrid? It was kind of in the middle. Phoenix has too many radio stations, so nobody has a pure format. You've got to be a combination of something. And it was, I got to tell you, the music, I don't think it worked. We worked okay. Got fired, but it seemed to work for a while until the Gulf War came along and everybody went to AM.
As I say, that's when you did too good and they wanted you to do even better. Isn't that that?
Yeah, that's the station where
they revealed the whiteboard.
It just sounds to me like you were like, hey, this is Drew Lane. I'm here with Zip and we're going to be at the, you know, we're with you for the next hour. But now here's My Baby Cares For Me by Jack Payne.
Yeah.
My baby don't care for show.
Don't talk up Jack Kane, Drew.
My baby just cares for me.
Rich Little?
No, the format completely changed before we got there. They were playing music for about 2 weeks, I think, when we got there. And so, you know, they had an audience. It was working okay. And then we came in and, you know, that was a real shock to the system in the morning, but you know, we fit the format okay. And unfortunately, we just didn't have much time, and Rich Little didn't fit us. It didn't make any sense. They agreed to it like, you know, a month before the format change even. I think he said, yeah, we're going to change formats. It'll work perfectly, and we'll get a bunch of people out there. And it was a significant buy for the sales department. But we sat there with these three blue hairs for about 20 minutes. And then it was like, oh, is Rich going to show up? And I think there were five people in line by then. At 1 o'clock,
oh, God.
Is Rich even coming? Was it canceled? But they didn't tell us. And then all of a sudden, emerging from the other area of the mall is three real beefy looking guys, sort of cop looking guys, and behind them someone with dark to gray hair. And realized, wait, that's Rich Little.
Was he in character?
No, he wasn't in character yet. But as he got closer, I realized that he looked really pissy. And of course he was. There were five people in line.
Didn't we learn that he's pretty much always pissy?
Yeah, I think we did deep dive on him. He was an asshole. No, he wasn't pissy. He was a complete asshole. And he sees himself, well, he was huge. He was a national star at one time, but his star faded quite a bit. And plus, it was a bad buy, and we were the wrong show for him, and the mall wasn't done.
How did he treat the five people that came to see him?
Not really nice. He wasn't very nice.
Did he sign their stuff?
He did sign their stuff. Yeah, he did the bare minimum. I think he may have signed for, I'll say, I'll be generous. Maybe 13 people.
Oh, okay.
Well, a few others showed up. And then people in the mall show up who had no idea he was there. Like, who is this? It's Rich Little. Oh, I guess.
I've heard of him.
I guess I'd want his signature. So they become part of it. And he knew it was a drastic disaster. And he ended up storming off with his three guards.
Oh,
which I couldn't even dismiss the three guards and left alone. Wouldn't that have made more sense?
So I'm looking. Yeah, easily.
Our station probably paid.
I don't know. Those blue hairs get pretty wild. They could have attacked him.
He was a real asshole. Zip was next. Did Zip make me sit next to him? I think Zip sat next to him. Zip did voices. Yeah. And so Zip was somewhat, and I'm somewhat might be using that loosely. Zip was somewhat interested in what Rich did. And
I can understand that.
Zip tried to talk to him, but he was such a dick. It was like, even if he said something nice, he would get a dicky response, one of those things. And he wasn't nice to the people in line either.
I'd love to hear Rich's version of the same event.
I would too, because I think a lot of it would match. How could he unmatch?
Well, I just wondered. It was a disaster. They promoted correctly. They changed formats on me. I was already contractually obliged to show up.
That took a lot of time to recover. I still haven't recovered. I'm still calling every appearance my last appearance because of Rich Little, and I'm trying to find a Rich Little I can blame it on if this thing doesn't work.
Well, so, maybe we can have Matt Farley do it via Skype or something.
Well, I thought about that yesterday. I was like, hey, maybe Matt Farley could do it, and I thought, I don't want me or Matt Farley to be blamed.
It's true. I'm looking at Rich Little's Twitter.
Oh, he's on Twitter.
He is on Twitter.
How many followers?
232.
232.
Yeah, not 1,000 or anything, just 232.
Well, at least I'm ahead of Rich Little.
He hasn't tweeted since October 10th, 2016.
What?
But a couple things. Well, yeah, and his last tweet is, I'm neither Democrat nor Republican because I eat like an elephant and lie like a donkey. Which, I'm sitting there going, are elephants known for eating a lot and donkeys known for lying?
I don't know. I just knew it was going to be a bad joke before you even read it. So
it got two engagements on it.
Any comments on his tweets, by the way?
Retweeted it.
I hate to be a complete diver on this, but...
There were, but now they're not popping up, so those people either died or aren't on Twitter anymore.
Wait, aren't they there permanently? I mean, for 2011, there must be some comments,
well,
right?
He doesn't tweet a lot. In fact, here's one from September 13th, 2016. He says, a fan said to me after my show, why didn't you use any of my material from your act? I replied, I was doing my act.
I got a reply from someone who said, I was going to say, you still got it, but then again, you never lost it.
What?
Oh, Jesus.
It's interesting. He joined Twitter July 2014, and it's really funny because, you know, he really tried giving Twitter a shot for a while.
Oh, yeah.
But his first tweet, and this is this why he joined Twitter, just to say, awesome time in Italy. Wish I could stay longer. Did he join Twitter to brag about going to Italy?
You know.
Guess how many engagements that got?
Well, it was 2014, so people were more into Twitter then. Six?
Zero. No likes, no comments, no retweets.
Sorry to hear that. Sounds like our parents.
His eulogy for Robin Williams got four likes, so that's nice. And his eulogy is, you will be missed, hashtag RIP Robin Williams. He really put a lot of thought.
Oh, here he is trying to get on TV. He says, hey, congratulations to the fabulous cast of Hot in Cleveland on your 100th episode. I'd love to be a part of the next 100.
Oh, that means he was part of the 100th, probably. They apparently did the same thing our management did, so Rich Little in for this special event because he's such a draw. I mean, seriously, in 1989, he was finished. It was over.
Yeah.
Drew, I never heard of Rich Little until I heard your story.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I remember him from when I was a kid.
What shows? What was the... I mean,
Carson was on every... Yeah, he hosted Carson, I think. Yeah. I'm sure some people are saying, who's Johnny? Who's Carson?
Brandon, any show that had like any kind of
variety?
Yeah.
Which was a lot of shows back then.
Yeah, any celebrity.
I bet he was on Flip Wilson a lot.
He was on every single one of those.
So who would be like today's counterpart? Like Rich Little.
Jimmy Fallon, maybe? The Jimmy Fallon. Oh, today's counterpart? Well, who does voices now?
I think
who does old voices that don't matter anymore? that are very cliche to start with. That would be who the Rich Little of today is.
The guy from Police Academy, I don't know.
Caliendo or something?
No, Caliendo's much more current.
Funny, and he was funny.
And he's much more current. Much.
Yeah, he keeps coming. I don't really think there is one today.
Who are Caliendo's best voices? He does.
Well, Madden.
Yeah. He does Barkley.
Bush was always good, yeah.
Gruden's
Bush
really
is
great.
A little in there. I love Frank, though. Frank's funny. Okay, so before I tell you why Steve Gorman has got me so worked up. And by the way, I think Guevara, I've stalled him successfully because he's like, you don't need anybody else. Look at this. He sent me some clip from Facebook where I think some people are gathering, yeah. Some of our listeners.
No, I know this because he asked me to.
Okay.
Let's put a bug in your ear.
I wasn't terribly moved, although I liked the group of people that were meeting. Mm. I thought, those are really hardcore P1s. Those people will support anything. I love them to death. But I still want, could we have somebody else? And I think that sort of stalls it. People go, well, who could you bring in? I mean,
so if a listener has a really good idea of someone to bring in, would you do it?
Oh, yeah. If the Black Crows are playing or something, that'd be great.
What if it was Count David Wimp?
Count David Wimp is, that would be considered. That'd be considered.
What would he do? Just sit on the stage
hey,
and
Farley,
count?
Matt Farley, would sounds cool to me.
That would be.
But then you want to. So what's he going to do?
What an event that would be. We'll have Farley Skype in and just play from his basement.
No, oh, yeah.
Not a real guest.
We'll have Count David Wimp just sit there and count on the stage.
You know what I think you want? You want somebody who people would like to get a selfie with.
Yeah.
At least.
Who wouldn't want a selfie with Count David Wimp?
Nobody.
Sweetheart of a man. I would.
He's out of consideration. What? He's out of the running.
Yeah, I did that.
And then you could ask him for another one. And go, how many is that, Count David Wimp? Two.
That's been a while.
If we mic'd him, it could be very amusing for people that showed up.
Trent Bolte. We'll have Trent Bolte come in.
Trent Bolte would be cool.
Entertain people with, I don't know what.
Yeah. By the way, Trent Bolte appears to have not made the, okay, what's the guy that murdered his family's name?
Chris Watts.
Chris Watts. There is a Chris Watts, like a mini movie or a TV movie, and appears
mm-hmm.
Trent Bolte didn't make it. Now, how could you not include Trent Bolte?
I don't know.
Who, by the way, has only been a guest on our show. That's a Drew and Mike exclusive. Trent Bolte, the guy he met on the gay website.
Yes.
And they had sex in the mudroom of the house they got into.
That's
because
how quick,
they were because he was so fired up for his first gay experience. Not Trent, but Chris was.
Yeah, Trent had plenty.
He was so fired up for his first gay experience with Trent. That they did it in the mudroom. They didn't even get into the kitchen. It was that hot. I mean, it sounded hot.
I'm still amazed how many people wanted to blame Trent Bolte for Chris Watts killing his wife and family.
There's got to be some way to get this effing bee out of my life.
But you're right, Drew.
Why does he get his voice so deep?
So many people just dismiss that. They don't even put it in any of the stories.
That belongs in it.
I think we're going to finally see it, you know, when we get a real big one in the, you know, a few years when Netflix does a 5-part series or something.
I think Trent would play himself, too.
Yeah.
He'd be great at it.
He would.
Yeah.
Nobody sounds like Trent Bolte.
No. Rich Little can play him.
Oh,
highlight, though.
Fun, fast, simple, and easy experience, all the while saving you fat stacks of cash. That's what our friends and studio sponsors at DealsInTheD.com are all about. Do you want to save time while saving money? Do you want to have fun while having a fantastic experience? If yes is your answer, you want to go visit Zot Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, Zot Ford, or the best-kept secret in Detroit, Zot Toyota. Because that's where Thad Zot, Jeff Schneider, Todd Zot, and Steve Guevara take great pride in rolling out the red carpet to Drew and Mike listeners. They really do. And when you see Guevara, by the way, you can tell him your idea for a great guest for our Mesa appearance. All the while making buying or leasing your next new or pre-owned vehicle the most refreshing thing you'll do in 2020. That's a big claim. So go surf the ridiculous deals and massive inventory at DealsInTheD.com and then tell them Drew, Mark, Trudy, Brandon, and Zuv sent you.
Do it.
Okay, we have a boner line. I think I'm going to go to the boner line because I want to go upstairs and take a break. Do you get a sense, Brandon, of the difference between radio and podcasting in that there's no 7-minute breaks where you just go stretch out?
Sometimes those breaks are, you know, they're nice to have. Especially with you. I remember when you, your breaks were always great because every single time we came back from commercial, you were running. That's why we had such long intro music from our commercial.
And Mike Clark would be gimping in, so he would take forever. Yes, yeah, so the music did run out a couple times.
I mean, there's people out there that go, you know, you could just stop recording and then pick it up and you know, mold it together and no one would ever know.
I don't think that's how...
We like to start it and go through.
We sort of were searching for the warts and all
yeah.
idea. You know, when we get a doo-doo-doo phone number, we usually leave it in.
Right, right.
Anyway, the boner line, I'm gonna hold off on Steve Gorman for just a second because I did want to take a short break and there's so few opportunities for a break. See, Mark just ran up and did a break.
No one knew. That's quick.
Well, they didn't. Lover's Lane sponsors the Boner Line. If you want to comment on the show, call 209-66-BONER. How are we doing for calls?
We're doing okay. We could use a little bit more, but I think I got 19 today.
That's not very many.
No, not in...
Did people call over the holidays?
They did, yeah.
Really?
Yes. And some of the stuff, unfortunately, was, you know, 2-3 weeks old, so some of it kind of got filtered out.
I know, but that Pizza Hut story is a home run.
Yeah, yeah. So send us 209-66-BONER, you know, call in about maybe what you want to hear or just tell a story. Do whatever you guys want, and I'll try to get it on. If not, we're listening to every one of them, and we like to look at the text messages, too. I try to respond to a lot of those as well.
And, you know, the No Filter guys get messages, too.
They do. 760-89-BALLS for the No Filter guys for Eli, Denny, and Bob.
Does Elric read messages?
Yeah, no. We can get calls, too. 313-288-9070 is Elric's line.
Oh, boring. Did he turn down numerous spellings or words?
No boners.
I didn't give him the opportunity.
Okay.
Well, I told him it should begin with 313 since it's the soul of Detroit. It's got to have 313, and there just weren't as many options.
Look at all the thought that goes into this network.
Probably too much.
Ah, yes, Detroit style. Very nice.
Well, Lover's Lane is a new sponsor, and because there's a website, I was glad to hear that people are banging the website when we got started with Lover's Lane. And, in fact...
She clicked the link on our site.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Then we get full credit.
They can see where it comes from.
Do people have to do too many things to listen to us? Doesn't seem like they just have to do so many fucking things.
It's so hard to go onto a website.
It's so hard to listen to this show. My God, you got to support the sponsors.
You're buying a car.
You got to click the links. You got to put the promo code in.
Yeah,
but, you know, if you actually click that link that's on our website, drewandmikeshow.com, it'll take you right to sexdrive.com. I'm serious. This is worth looking at.
It might be a lot of work, but they're getting stuff out of it.
They are. No, they were getting a lot of clicks, and they were happy.
Gambling or good pictures to look at.
We owe them a couple, I guess. But
nice.
The women in the outfits are beautiful, and I don't know any of them. For some reason, it's more exciting if you don't know them. It's like, wow, look at that regular chick looking so hot. I don't even know who she is. I wasn't supposed to know who she is. They took that in her bedroom, obviously. No, I'm kidding. Lover's Lane now has three ways to shop for all your sex essentials. 35 store locations. Loverslane.com.
Wow.
Or the all-new... let me see. Whoa. As I scramble for my glasses.
Honestly, those are
that is, that's
really sexy.
That is really sexy. Because I remember when it used to come...
Wow.
It used to come in the... Oh, that one.
Brandon! Brandon's hanging out the dudes. He wants the men rip off harness with ring.
What is the harness on that guy? On his upper
you mean
body?
The men's rip off harness with ring? Click on it. Is there a description?
What's that cost?
$24.
Oh, I'm in.
The men's rip off harness with C ring. Hey, go back down.
Sorry.
The men's rip off harness with C ring from Male Power will get your man in line and keep him there. This two piece harness is made of nylon spandex and features adjustable snap closures.
Let me guess, you can attach a leash to the back of that thing.
Oh, of course. Large metal rings accent the center, front, and back. Perfect to attach your favorite leash to.
Hey, there we go.
The bottom features a 2-inch diameter metal cock ring.
All right. You know, I really don't care if people like doing this. I'm not there. Why do I care?
Go
they like
for
it, and it does well for Lover's Lane, all the better. Sexdrive.com features high-quality sex toys, fun and exciting couples toys, and the most erotic appeal anywhere. I left vibrators out because someone said, do you have to always mention vibrators in Lover's Lane? Because I listen with my wife. I thought, oh, wife doesn't like that.
You like my vibrator?
Was she mad that she got a worse deal from somewhere else?
Yeah,
you got a better deal at sexdrive.com.
I don't know. I wasn't sure how to take that, but I understood. It's just weird to me how people, you know, like the pot sponsor, you know, pot's legal.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised that people, and it's not like a ton of people object to anything. Try something new in the bedroom. Celebrate the new year, the new year. Check out sexdrive.com, powered by Lover's Lane, sexdrive.com. And they sponsor the boner line for us. At the Drew and Mike Show.
It delights. It's boner time.
Drew, Mark, Brandon, how could you miss the fact that Ken Jennings has a podcast?
It's actually really good. He does it with John Roderick from the rock band The Long Winters.
Who are they?
That is near the top of the chart. It's called The Omnibus.
Good luck with the podcast.
The Golden Globes.
The Golden Globes.
Serious issue, jealous thought. The whole time Kate McKinnon was giving her heartfelt speech about Ellen, I just kept picturing the two of those scissoring like crazy. Not sure if you noticed, but about 3 minutes in, you could see Ellen slip her cushion really quickly.
Scissor me timbers!
Just wondering, when you talked about the Golden Globes, why you didn't mention Elton John. I'm a hardcore Elton John fan, and I know you are too, so I'm surprised you didn't mention how he looked and how Karen won for Best Actor.
He's one of our finest actors, and...
Oh my God, Drew, I hate to okay boomer you, but you just spent half of Monday's show talking about this Leif Erickson guy who no one who knows how to download a podcast is even old enough to remember. Talk about like Coachella or something.
Which
like the Coachella lineup just got announced.
Yeah, all right, I'll see you guys there.
Stop talking about Leif Garrett.
Take it easy.
Who the fuck is Leif Garrett?
Who's that dude?
I went to school back in 1998-99, and my friend was in a musical theater thing on the west side of the state, and Leif Garrett was the guest performer or whatever, and this was right after that Behind the Music came out.
What the hell happened that night?
And my friend was in the parking lot waiting, you know, because like everyone's excited he's going to show up, and I guess he just came tearing into the parking lot in his car. Almost like doing like figure eights and stuff. I mean, whatever, but I just thought it was funny because like he didn't learn anything.
I'm an excellent driver.
You keep teasing me about this Singletary bet. How much did you bet and how much did you win? Can you please let us know? You say it every fucking goddamn day. Cha-ching! And I want to hear the outcome. Can you let us know that, please?
I'm a rich American with a big wiener.
Does anyone else think when Ted Williams says, 12 years, I thought it was 12 years. You guys keep saying it's 20. Is it? It sounds like 12 to me. I don't know. Now help me out, please.
After 12 years.
You know, you guys added Jim Bentley, and what, is Guevara pulling a Fox 2, and he's not going to let him on the podcast now? Come on, we want some more Bentley.
Jimmy, let's go.
You were doing the story about the Hype House, and I think you kept mispronouncing a word. You guys kept calling it a collab house, but from what you were describing and from what's in the article, it sounds more like a cobble house.
You dick!
I think there's a perfect opportunity for you to do some pretty cool editing to that new AB song, Whole Lot of Money. Like right in between where he says, Whole Lot of Money, you can insert the fart real good right there. I think it would sound cool if you did that.
Happy New Year, a-holes.
See you soon. Bye.
So that's the boner line for today.
Did you see the Coachella lineup?
I only saw the Rage Against the Machine, right?
Which was you know, announced a long time
ago. Yeah, I got pumped for that, but then I looked at the undercard, and I didn't think anybody matched Rage Against the Machine. There was no other rock in there. No. It was just
Run the Jewels. I like them. They're on there.
I got to tell you, I was not real excited about the
Travis
lineup.
Scott.
I'm not going anyway.
The three headliners, Rage, Travis Scott, and Frank Ocean. No thanks.
It's
You want to see Rage so bad.
Tom York by himself, by the way.
Tom York, why is he by himself?
He's been touring by himself.
How well does that do?
I didn't know he could be the third on the Saturday night because he did Masonic when he was here. It's electronic. It's totally different.
I was going to say, Tom York, even if I had no idea what you just said, I would think that he would come and he would do maybe one Radiohead song. And people go, he didn't play any Radiohead stuff.
He wouldn't do any. Carly Rae Jepsen the same day.
Yeah, how is Carly Rae Jepsen Coachella worthy?
I don't know.
What? Isn't that the Friday? Or wait.
No.
Oh, Call Me.
Black. Yeah, Call Me Maybe.
Okay, can you play a clip of that? Does she have other hits I don't know about?
I met you. I think she had one or two.
I'd rather play this song.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
So she had one. It was like a novelty song, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was. It got huge.
Play a clip of it, Brandon. Mm-hmm.
Didn't get big because, you know, like sports people were singing.
Yeah, they were doing
videos.
Little videos to it and lip syncing it.
Yeah.
Was she a star before this song?
No, this was just like the song of the summer that one year.
2011, it was first in like every chart. Did you know she had another number one song?
I did not. What was it?
Good Time with Owl City.
That was
a year later.
I would not think she would be the kind of person that Coachella people would go see.
Just put out a new album. Do you remember this piece of garbage?
It sounds familiar.
Hands up if you're down to get down tonight. Cause it's always a good time.
Slept in all my clothes like a God, it just sounds very trite.
Now, meanwhile, Bonnaroo.
This is a conversation that was transcribed into a song. That's what it sounds like.
Just like Call Me
it
Maybe.
It reminds me of the guy in Cleveland, the next door neighbor that found the three girls.
Charles Ramsey?
Yeah, I think sure the Charles Ramsey song reminds me of this song.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Dad gave away.
Actually, that sounds more like a written song than... It sounds like a conversation transcribed. I'm leaving it there.
Bonnaroo just announced their lineup.
Wait, why are we agreeing with the guy on the fucking boner line?
I wasn't going to mention Bonnaroo, except that...
Do people come here for the Coachella lineup? No, if Coachella has a good lineup, I'm happy to talk about it. But I want to go back to Leif Garrickson, or Leif Garrickson. Leif Erickson. Now, I think I explained that he is a child star. Or no, he was a teen idol from the late 70s, early 80s. Yes. So yeah, okay, boomer me all you want. But if I looked, and I was very marginal on getting the book, but you find a lot of good nuggets in these books. It's called Show Prep.
Stories are good. They're good stories.
I thought there were some really good stories in that book. And plus, he was a complete fuck off.
Remember the Judy Garland documentary? She's been dead forever. Who cares about Judy Garland? But there were so many good stories about her.
I saw the movie.
The movie Judy?
Yes.
I've seen it.
I have to tell you, I thought it was a pretty good movie.
Zellweger's really good in it.
Zellweger was great.
She's a great Judy Garland.
Now, don't anybody call the boner line, by the way, and say, it's Renee Zellweger. It's not Zellweger.
Yeah, it is.
It's a joke.
It's from the Chappelle Show. But there was the documentary, too, Sid and Judy, that had a lot of great stories in it. No one cares about Judy Garland today.
And honestly, I guess for someone, a conversation to matter, if you're talking about someone that you absolutely can't possibly care about, well, yeah, fast forward, go ahead. But I would think, wouldn't you think people would trust me enough to know that if there's nothing worth shit in the book,
I thought there were
some decent stories in there. Plus, everyone knows about him and Roland and VH1's Behind the Music. That's 20 years ago. Wasn't that a big deal?
It was a major cultural event. Family Guy parodied it. SNL made jokes about it. Brandon.
I stand by my Leif Garrickson segment.
Why are you calling him Garrickson?
Leif Erickson.
Leif Garrett. Leif Erickson, wasn't he
I'm
the Viking?
I'm confusing him with the guy that discovered America, according to some people. Yeah. Leif Garrett?
That's not
his name.
Right
What's
now?
His fucking name?
Garrett.
Leif Garrett, okay. Wow, that was just...
Doesn't sound right all of a sudden.
See, the boner line just completely fouled me up. I'm canceling the boner line immediately.
You started the day so great, and now you've really gotten pissed off.
I didn't get to the worst part.
I know.
Elton John. You know, I meant to mention Elton John, but he didn't do much.
It was cool.
It was nice to see him. I love Elton John.
Okay, Boomer. That's really weird, though, when he was up there, Elton said, you know, it's the first award that they've won together.
They haven't been put in the Songwriting Hall of Fame or anything like that?
It's not.
Wait, you know what else Elton John said? He said, this is why I wanted to talk about Elton John. Thanks for reminding me, Boner Line. Okay, bring the Boner Line back. It's still alive. 209-66-BONER. Elton John, I'm quoting him here. I can't believe this is true. Did he not say, I've never won a Grammy? Didn't he say that?
I didn't think he said that. I thought he said that this was the first award they won together.
Oh, together. Okay. So he must have
him
won some
Bernie.
Grammys. Okay.
He's had to have won a Grammy, right?
Well, you know, honestly, Led Zeppelin never won a Grammy.
Yeah.
The Rolling Stones never won a Grammy.
That's a little odd.
Elton John's won 5 Grammys.
Oh, for the stupid Lion King thing?
See, that doesn't even seem right to me. 5 Grammys for Elton John? You know, this is what... I really didn't want to go down this path, but I will, quickly. When all that hullabaloo was coming out about everything being too white...
Yeah.
Grammys, Oscars too white, everything is no diversity. Look at the top Grammy winners of all time and tell me the Grammys are too white. It's Kanye West, Aretha Franklin...
Jackson's got to be up there.
Michael Jackson. Stevie Wonder. I really don't think the Grammys have a problem with being too white. And I think it was the following year, there were barely any people nominated. Like, oh, this is so great, the Grammys. There's no white nominees. It's excellent. That might have been the Oscars, actually. But nobody said, Oscars too black.
Yeah.
Anyway.
People are going to bitch. I'm trying to see what he was if he was nominated for a Grammy and who he lost to, because that's always fun.
Oh, there's some great. Can You Feel the Love Tonight was he won an Oscar and a Grammy for that one. I don't have it up in front of me, but I know he won like a Legend Award. I guess it's like an honorary.
I don't know how Goodbye Yellowbrook Road did not win.
I'm just looking
album
to see
year.
If that was even nominated.
Or I would think something like Candle in the Wind or Your Song.
Caribou was Album of the Year nominated. So was Elton John. Okay.
Yeah, those weren't even his best albums. But there was a lot of great albums. While he was really hot, Elton John, let me tell you something. If you're not a boomer or you're under 50, you probably have very little idea how incredible Elton John was. That stretch from 1970 to about 76, he was so dominant. He was the number one artist of the 70s.
Wow.
And I know people probably think, oh, no, it's got to be Led Zeppelin or... No, Elton John was utterly dominant. He had so many hits. I think he has 11 or 12 number ones.
All right, so Elton John was nominated in 71, lost to Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. Okay. It's hard.
Did Let It Be lose that year, too, I think? Was Let It Be in there?
No.
No?
No. Deja Vu.
He didn't win any more.
That Beatles never won.
Close to You. Chicago.
I never knew you were such a Beatles fan.
Sweet Baby Jane. And then Caribou lost to Stevie Wonder.
And by the way, Elton John lied at the Golden Globes, because in 1992, he and Bernie were inducted together in the Songwriter Hall of Fame. So.
Busted!
He's a liar.
Oh, Elton was nominated also again for Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy.
Good album.
Lost to Paul Simon again.
Oh, damn it.
Still crazy after all these years. So.
Okay.
It's kind of interesting.
All right, here's the one today went south. Actually, I'll go back. I'll go back for this one. In probably sometime in 2018, as the show was getting further along, and we're always looking for money. Oh, Brandon's working a lot of hours. I'm going to pay Brandon more. Trudy's working now. She was working, was it one day and then 2 days? Mm-hmm. And she was doing our booking, too, because it wasn't really Maz's. Maz doesn't know the show.
Yeah.
He tends to want to book. Who was it? Who did he book that we unbooked? Oh, WWE. Was it a wrestler?
I think so.
Yeah. And I remember the conversation. Right. It was like, Maz, he's not even on the main card. Yeah. I don't know any wrestlers, so it's not a great booking for me.
Yeah, Brandon knows.
I knew the name,
few,
but he wasn't like a star or a champion or anything like that.
And I said, no, just cancel. It's only 10 minutes. Well, I'm like, I hate that too. And I'm not trying to pick on Maz. Believe me, I'm not. But if you take the attitude that it's only 10 minutes, then it's only 15 minutes. It's only 20 minutes. Might as well interview this guy who's appearing here, even though he sucks and you know nothing about him. Help the venue out and bore the shit out of your audience for just 20 minutes. Mm. No. It sucks. So anyway, Trudy kind of taking over booking because I just don't think it comes naturally. If you know the WRAF format, you know a rock format, you sort of know who fits and who doesn't fit. Well, he doesn't like rock. Mm. We know what Maz likes.
Toto.
His taste runs 180 degrees from virtually everyone on the show.
Yes.
We share some love. Not a lot, but some. His hate list is more interesting to me than his love list.
Yeah, I would
hate
agree
list
with
is
that.
Fascinating. And Maz was in place at 101.5.
Yeah.
I can't remember where he works anymore. 105.1, yeah. He was the producer for
Matt Derry,
mm-hmm. And he did the updates for us, which became a real issue because he insisted on doing 3 to 4 minutes, and we really wanted him to do 60 seconds or less. And he was asked
couldn't do it.
Multiple occasions
not do it.
To stop doing it. It was at the top of the hour, and top of the hour in radio.
No.
That was really the answer, yeah.
We get U-butt out in here somewhere. Top of the hour is where you can really lose people.
U-butt out.
At the top of the hour, if people think you're on a subject that sucks, or, you know, I don't know about this guest, I don't care about the line, they might leave you. And they might leave you for a long time in the hour. The other guy's doing something else. So at the top of the hour, 97.1 did their sports updates. WWJ is doing news. You know, anybody that's doing any kind of news, it's at the top of the
hour.
And
do you really need sports updates in the day of it's just something to sell.
They come into your phone. You get people know them at the same time we know them. So to go into all this detail, it just didn't make any sense. Plus, when 97.1 is done with theirs, then they've got their host on, Mike Valenti, their highest rated host, and he's talking about whatever it is he's talking about that the audience is interested in. And we're still in this sports update in great detail about stuff that people already know. So anyway, we had our ups and downs with Maz. But somehow, in some crazy weird way, there were a lot of great moments and goofy things that happened because Maz is Maz, and we all love Maz.
His non sequiturs.
His non sequiturs. That became a bit. We actually had intros for him, didn't we?
Tom Mazaway, the human non sequitur.
I remember that.
Where's the non sequitur?
I remember when that happened. There was actually a very serious story you were talking about, and you just walked into the studio, put a piece of paper down, and went, "Hey, look at this." It's kind of weird.
Man, don't we have some extra ones?
Tom Mazaway, the human non sequitur.
Why'd this guy fall off the roof, though?
Well, there's a whole story. Let's see. And the guy's name is Pabst. He's got the brothers Waylon Pabst, but the guy...
Any relation to Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Yeah, they're the heirs.
Mm. Whoa. So
that's why they have no money.
Look at this picture of American Pharaoh.
He's cut like a...
I give up.
Cut like a bodybuilder, this guy.
The human non sequitur.
I'm trying to tell a story.
We started collecting them.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't produce them fast enough because there were so many of them.
There were a lot of them.
But they were so dramatic that they were amusing. And we pointed them out, which was the only thing you can do. I mean, you could just let them go.
Play another one.
Tom Mazaway, the human non-sequitur.
Well, Emily was talking about how Simon, four times in their interview with him, said that he misjudged the ball. He would not shut up about it after the game, apparently.
Don't blame him.
Oh, mercy.
He's feeling like a Dairy Queen day.
Is it really?
you fell into that one, too. That's the problem. Sometimes it's too easy to fall into.
The human non-sequitur.
Now, here's why I semi-agree with you, Tom. Not fully, but I would expect Steve Eisenman to mention...
By the way, that's a first.
Ken Holland.
You've ever agreed with me on anything.
Oh, come on. That's baloney.
Oh, great hat. I just noticed that.
Thank you.
What?
That's the Wrigley. What do you call that thing?
I always said I wanted him to do a show with a blindfold on.
He'd be better.
He would.
He might go insane, though.
Here, I want to play that.
Yeah, he visual things really just... steal his attention.
Let me just hit this one real quick.
Tom Mazaway, the human non sequitur.
They're now tied for first place with the Royals, who are playing the Tribe right now. Happy birthday, 47 years old, to the beautiful Tracy Lords.
Porn stars. Tracy Lords?
Porn stars.
Are you being the human non sequitur?
Yes, well, I'm giving you the birthdays.
Giving you the birthdays. Well, that's the other thing, the birthdays.
Yeah, we didn't want birthdays. We didn't want shout outs. It's not like I'm informing people of these things. We've talked about this stuff. I've begged him not to do shout outs, but that doesn't really matter in the scheme of things. Anyway, he was still on, he was in the one day. Mm-hmm. We're doing the show for nothing for 6 months, which I still can't believe we did that.
Shit, yeah.
6 months.
Yeah.
We couldn't monetize before that. But anyway, we started.
There's no need to. Some people got unemployment.
I wasn't getting unemployment.
You weren't?
No, I wasn't.
I had to get a job.
I was getting
unemployment. Didn't really need to. But yeah, I don't knock anybody getting unemployment. But then we put the donation bar up, which was amazing. And we had people that wanted to advertise, who'd said they wanted to advertise. So we started up.
That's great.
And Tom, during that time, because you guys were on 105.1 part of that time.
Yeah, until June 29th.
And you guys were doing the show fairly often. Mark was doing it a lot. And Maz was doing one day a week. He was available for more, but I felt that if we were going to get back, because the idea was this is not a sports podcast.
Yeah.
It was not a joke either. I felt that 105.1 had damaged the brand so badly in 2.5 years.
Not a joke, but yes.
That we had to make it clear to people that it was not a sports podcast. Well, Maz has very little interest in things outside of sports. Batman,
bullshit.
Seinfeld, sports. He likes music, not the same music that the show.
Effort.
Doesn't like anyone in the WRAF format.
Whatever he's looking at that moment.
That too. So I just sort of felt like, well, he wants to do it one day a week. and it did become Maz Day because he does vampire time. I mean, his the things going on in his life, which are amusing. I'm not going to deny that.
Yes,
I would. And I had a lot of fun doing certain shows with Maz, doing a lot of shows with Maz, and I would have had fun today too. But around 2019, I felt that, you know, we really have four people working pretty much full time in the show, and it's crazy to pay someone for one day a week. And, you know, he needed it at one point, mm-hmm. but once he was working at Zot, you know, he was doing well at Zot. Then he left Zot. He took his new job, and but his job shouldn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, I love Maz, and it was fun.
Damn it.
But it was like, there's 4 days of this and one day of this. It just
asshole.
Didn't.
Asshole.
I think probably the what, were you making a statement, Brandon?
I didn't mean to interrupt. I was reaching.
Just wait until there's pushed it out.
You know what's really funny about it? He is going to be so proud of this in post, aren't you?
No, I'm going to probably.
He goes back and listens to his fart.
No, this is what happens. I'll be over here working on notes and stuff on the website, and I'll hear this laughing really hard. I'm like, what are you laughing at over there? And then you hear him hit the space bar to stop. And then he turns up the monitor and plays it back, and it's always your fart.
Not true.
That is so true.
That happens when I delete them. I delete a lot more farts than the listeners actually hear.
Bullshit.
Really? They complain that much?
This argument's probably deleted. I probably already deleted it for all I know. Everybody's like, what's he talking about?
If anything, you crank them up louder.
Which you can do.
Yeah, Brandon, have you or have you not cranked up your farts?
I've boosted a couple, but only because I wanted the listeners to be able to know what we were talking about.
The idea of boosting a fart.
I know, it's kind of nice.
It sounds scientific and cool too.
when they made editing software, that's what they made it for.
no doubt. Some creepy engineer who loved his own farts.
Increase the decibels on a fart.
He didn't like the sound as much as the smell, but the sound reminded him of the smell.
You should see what he invented for the smell.
So,
anyway, where were you after Brandon's sweet fart?
That reminded me of something really funny. I'm going to go on one more detour. Yesterday, when you were describing the bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah.
The bathroom.
Yeah, why did you give it a shot?
Well, the way the story went, Brandon was in the bathroom for a long, long time. Mark saw him coming out and was going in. And did you warn him?
No, I knew because you knew. Been ripping them like crazy.
So you
down
pulled
here.
Your shirt up over your nose, and then you had to get your ID in on your phone.
Yeah,
so
face
you,
ID, yeah.
So anyway, you ended up in a
it fucking reeked.
It's a hot box, but
it was
it was brutal.
But I asked him if it smelled, and you said, "Why don't you give it a shot?"
Well, the funny thing about the story is, I was upstairs paying very little attention to this, except that when Brandon came out, I was like, wow, he was in the bathroom all that time? I mean, this is just what's going on in my head. And then the next thing I realized was that you had gone in, and I was like, wow, Mark's going in there right now?
I had to go.
That was really my side of the story.
Does it smell good enough for you in there? How do you like the smell? Is it good?
I do love the smell.
Then I got the rest of it on the show. Give it a shot.
Will you time them on Sundays?
Give it a shot?
Yeah, why don't you give it a shot?
Anyway, okay, going back to the show. So there's 4 days. I think most people understand this. There's 4 days of, you know, it's really the old show for the most part. Mike's not here, but we're a fairly reasonable facsimile of the old show. We try to be. I think we are. And then one day's Maz Day. And sometimes, you know, something happens on Maz Day. We're like, you know, I don't know how we're going to do all this. What happens is he ends up in his phone.
Yeah.
And I've said this many times. If you're in a room doing a show like this, and so one of the people in the show is completely bored,
yeah,
it's distracting. Mm-hmm. Because you feel like you're not even winning the room.
If you lose one person in the room, how many listeners
right.
are you losing?
Yeah. And I know what's going on. He's not interested. But, you know, in radio, you just go back to the studio, and he works on his, which he did frequently. When Maz bolted the room, which was often, you always knew, well, he's obviously didn't give a shit about this. I knew that. It wasn't even a big deal. But, you know, all these things combined, I felt like, I just got to make this change. And I wanted to move some money and make the show more consistent. So I finally, I think around September, I said, 2020.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not a manager. I hate this part of the business. I really just hate management, period.
You're
not all
very
people.
Non-confrontational.
Yeah, I don't like it. Yeah, they're very non-confrontational. So then when Christmas break came, I was like, Well, I got a couple weeks. No rush.
Yeah.
And then it was kept hitting me in the brain. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, damn it. And then yesterday, the day before his first show, I was like, oh, I got to call my ass. So I called him. He didn't answer. And then he texted me back a couple times about The Bachelor. And it's like, I don't want to do this now. I don't want to do it by text. So today I called him, I guess around noon, and we chit-chatted about The Bachelor. And then I told him basically that we couldn't pay him in 2020. And, you know, we've got full-time people. I think he understood, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a big shock to him. But he was bummed. And
understandably.
So that sucked. So that, yeah, so my joyous, mirthful morning, I just felt bad about it. I just hated it. So anyway,
you didn't tell him not to come in.
No, I thought he was going to come in because we could talk about too. The Bachelor. The Bachelor, by the way, last night was probably the hottest group of bachelorettes.
Really?
Yeah. In
was it really 3 hours?
Three.
They did two shows.
Hours.
Why?
Did you watch it, Brandon?
I watched the first half of it. I have a couple takeaways.
Can I just tell you an adorable thing that happened yesterday after the show? Your phone rang because it was getting close to 8 o'clock, and it was your wife, and it sounded from my perspective that she was wondering when you were going to be home because she wanted to watch The Bachelor with you, which I thought was very cute that she would wait for you.
Well, I told her, I said, go ahead and watch it. Catch me up. I want to watch The Witcher. And she said, no, I want to watch it with you. It's fine.
I think you said, why don't you watch the beginning of it? I'll watch The Witcher, and we can watch the last hour together, and we'll all be happy.
Sure sounds like Kristen has veto power in all these things.
Kristen and I don't have many shows that we watch together. We have our own shows because I like brutal stuff and she likes Lifetime.
Would you say Kristen gets 3 votes and you get 2, or Kristen gets 3 votes and you get 1?
No, not at all. In fact, what happens?
3-0.
What a jerk.
What happens is we'll watch like Stranger Things together. We watched Game of Thrones together. We don't really watch a lot of things.
That's nice.
Together.
I couldn't tell you the last thing I watched with Julie. She just doesn't watch TV.
She wants to watch The Bachelor, and I'm like, I don't, you know, I totally skipped out on last season of The Bachelor, and I was grateful
really? Sure.
For it.
I used to be up to date.
I loved it. I loved that I was not.
Have you ever been in a Bachelor pool?
No, but Kristen has.
I haven't either.
She
do you had... really hate The Bachelor that much?
Well,
some people do hate The Bachelor. It's the weirdest thing
I'll
where,
tell you this.
You know, somebody said, oh, The Bachelor's over. Drew won't be doing The Bachelor anymore. And a lot of people respond like, I like The Bachelor. I watch The Bachelor. And I like the segments. There's certain segments. And that's sort of how I feel. It's not that I like the concept. Oh, these people are going to get married and they just met. It's so wonderful. No, there's really stupid shit that happens
you
on it.
I love Pablum Television.
I
that
do
should
like,
be a network.
I do like some of the Pablum Network. That'd be great. But no, and the chicks are smoking. And I got to tell
really
you, is this the hottest group ever, possibly?
Normally I watch it, and if I notice the hottest one or two, I say, oh, she's a front runner. Last night I was saying, wow, that girl's a front runner. There was girls that got voted off the first night that just, you would never, ever turn them down if they came up to you.
No!
You.
By the way, who knows? Can anybody who knows a pilot, please email me. I don't know, did they just get laid nonstop? It just seems like women love.
Did Clark?
No. He was happily married. But he loved women.
He did.
And they did like him. But I have to say, I'm stunned at how much they love this guy who's a pilot. He loves flying. He talks about flying. He wants to go places. He wants to fly there himself. He loves sunsets in the plane. He loves anything in the plane. And these women are just great. They're bawling over him.
Think about
it. He hasn't even eliminated them yet. It's the first show and they're crying.
20 of the 40 that show up are flight attendants.
Yeah. Was it 20?
It was. I think it was
There were 4 in a row.
Yeah,
that were flight attendants.
And I think
about it, though, man.
If
they fly all over the place, they have no roots. They're in different cities, swinging with different chicks. Their office is 30,000 feet up in the air. How cool is that?
Any pilot-friendly people, please drop me an email, drew@drewandmikepodcast.com or mail@drewandmikepodcast.com.
Julie's...
Please,
go ahead. Sorry.
Do all these pilots just have a zillion options at all times? It seems like women just fall over for pilots.
Julie's
this pilot's a little different. This guy's a good looking dude.
Oh, and he
really?
Was on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He is. Yeah. He's a good looking guy.
Two guys thought was hot.
And he's not like a bumbling idiot. I think.
He's
kind of likable.
I think he's fairly sincere, too.
And he nailed that chick 4 times last season.
He nailed Hannah 4 times.
Really? Oh, the one.
It's like the first time anyone in The Bachelor, especially she was The Bachelorette.
It wasn't like
there were 30 girls. There's one girl and 30 guys, and he nailed her 4 times in this windmill, and nobody else did anything with her.
Banging is great.
And then she didn't pick him, which was weird. She picked that loser that played music.
Guitar. Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
found out that he hadn't broken up with his girl when he came on the show. So she dumped him the second day. And the other guy, that guy Tyler, the super stud guy.
Yes. Yeah.
He ends up with Gigi Haddad.
What? He did? Really?
Yes. Oh, he nailed Gigi Haddad. He was hanging out with her for weeks. I think he still does. And multiple other super hot chicks.
Yeah,
and
he was banging one of the Kardashians a couple weeks ago.
He was hanging with her.
Yeah.
And Courtney, was it Courtney? Was he with Courtney?
The old one?
I thought it was.
I know, I don't like
you mean
I thought
it was Mason's mother?
What's the younger one? Not the youngest.
What is this?
Kylie.
This is some
Kylie?
Disposable Kendall? Podcasting here, folks.
Kendall. Jesus Christ.
Kendall. Oh, really?
I think she's pretty. Although she's, wow. Man, she's a mess. Anything she touches turns to a conflict.
Wait, Kylie, what's she, 21, 22?
Kendall or Kylie?
I don't know.
Kendall
remember.
Was the Fire
but
Festival.
They don't like white guys.
It's how the does fire
it, that tells you something right there. A white guy was with a Kardashian. Hey. Oh, my God. How,
well,
I mean,
well doing.
And he's just a pilot. I mean, but he's a pilot. So
I wanted to mention, so you said there were a lot of flight attendants. Julie's uncle was a pilot for Northwest, flew to Asia all the time, married a flight attendant. Her aunt was a flight attendant, which is, so maybe that happens a lot. And I can't watch The Bachelor. I don't have the attention span for it. It moves too slow. But I love the recaps. I love the highlights you show me. I find them hilarious. I don't know why people get so mad about
it. I don't either.
It.
I don't. I really don't get it.
It's really funny to laugh at those people.
So, anyway, I figured Maz would come in. We talk about The Bachelor. He.
Damn it.
This is pretty funny. I said, did you watch The Bachelor? He goes, no, I'm watching it now. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know you were at home. And he goes, oh, no, I'm at work.
Did he understand why that was odd?
I all I said was that, well, that's a nice fringe benefit to your job. And he didn't seem to deny or agree with it. So I assume that
show
it is.
Prep.
But then he texted back later that he didn't feel good.
What?
Hope you feel good.
I know. Let's see. Wait.
Is he sad about the phone call?
Yeah, no, he's bummed. He said, I hate to not be part of the show. And I said,
yeah, it's part of the show.
I expect him to keep the press passes active and use them. And he'll be consulted. It's not like he'll never be in the show again.
What are you talking about?
And then he actually tossed an idea. And I really didn't. I just feel like the show needs to move in one direction. And not that he's that big a time vampire, but it just didn't make sense. Not this show.
Yeah.
Or if we had a sports segment or something, or maybe, you know, and he talked about doing a podcast on Red Shovel, but I never understood what he,
I thought his pitch
was pretty
good.
Did anyone know what
his
podcast was going to be?
Yeah, it was going to be him.
Doing what? With who?
Looking at his
phone. Never got that far.
I don't know.
What do you want me to do?
What are you doing?
Oh, fuck yourself.
Anyway.
You getting snow off the cars, man?
Fuck this.
He'll be back. Once he says something, he never caves in. Well, I won't back down.
No, I won't back down. Can I have fun one day a week?
I
don't have to shovel. Can't I just come and relax?
No, I want you
have a
fun.
Girl Scout cookie with you.
Yeah, no one's stopping
one
that.
Thin mint fruit. No, I
stand my ground. Won't be
have you heard my phone ring in a month?
You took a phone call for 10 minutes about your child having an argument with her girlfriend during the show.
Why can't I use my phone like Mark's using the computer and Brandon's using his
computer? They're looking
attacks.
Things up. They're show related.
So am I.
Aaron did not buy the shirt. We know Tom. There's no way Tom bought the shirt.
Why is there no way? I'm a giving guy.
Oh, okay. Who'd you give money to? So you bought a shirt and gave the money to Joey Marasso.
Maz is claiming that he bought a T-shirt for the Scalise's, Aaron Scalise specifically, and gave you cash for it.
If Maz says he gave me $20, I'll believe. I don't know.
There you go.
Honest guy.
Or he'll give you one later.
He's not.
Aaron thanked us on Facebook, and we couldn't figure out why is she thanking Maz for a T-shirt. And we asked if he paid for it, and he said yes. He said she paid for it. So we couldn't figure out why she was thanking him. And like usual with any argument, Maz never relents. He never gives in until you've spent an hour. Nobody sticks to their guns like Maz.
Looks like, what's his name? Baba Booey. It reminds me of Baba Booey.
Charles from TMZ and Gary Delabate.
You got to do a younger Gary Delabate.
Nothing alike.
No, do a younger.
One's black, one's white.
No, do a younger one.
One's black with long dreads. The other's white with short gray hair.
Show me the old gray gold. Show me the old ones.
I can't believe you're sticking to your guns.
I am.
The worst ever at birth.
This may be your most stubborn moment ever, which is saying something.
Like Reggie Miller.
Is this a friend of yours named Reggie Miller, or are you talking about the basketball player?
I hear a white guy.
Are you trying to make a worse separated birth than Harvey Levin and Charles from TMZ?
Yeah. That sounds like Reggie Miller to me. Damn it. I'm here once a week. Why can't I get shit off my chest? Why you got to make fun of me?
All right.
You butt out.
There he is, Maz. Oh, brother. You know, I was going to talk about it on Facebook Live, but I don't want to read the comments. So I put it off till the end of the show. Maybe nobody will notice. I doubt it. Okay. So, yeah, that was a term I did. So. And, you know, honestly, I had so much to talk about today. I was like, there's no space for all this stuff. Yeah. So I mentioned Steve Gorman.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Which is also a content displacer, but an interesting thing because he is going to be appearing in Detroit promoting his book, Hard to Handle, the Black Crowes book.
January 25th in Livonia at Rock City Music.
And Steve knows people in the area, and I guess they do a lot of the stuff at Rock City, and so he's pumped about that. And he was nice enough to ask me to host the thing. And, of course, since I've retired from live appearances, it was a difficult decision immediately. And I'm trying to get him to do one on this side of town.
Doesn't sound like that's going to work. I think in the conversation I had with him, it might have been said that traveling more than 10 minutes away is a little disruptive.
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And I was going to say, Steve's like that too?
And he responded,
you, that's all you care.
He responded, tell him I'm flying in from Nashville. There was a little more to it.
We should get him on the show again.
He's really good.
Does he want to promote it on the show soon?
Yeah,
we can do it on the 24th, but might as well do it early.
So much is going on with the Black Crowes right now. It's crazy.
I know. No, and he had said that this is going to happen. He predicted the Black Crowes would reunite, and Steve is very sticks to his guns in the fact that the Black Crowes with the two brothers is not the same Black Crowes as with Eddie Harsh. And Eddie Harsh did add a lot to the Black Crowes. There's no doubt about that. And Steve Gorman. And I'm trying to think, who's the bass guitarist? I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But they had a great band. And so this is going to be the two brothers and a couple fill-ins. And most people will not care. However, it sounds to me like the Robinson brothers will care. Because when something goes south in that band musically, they lose their shit.
Johnny Colt?
He was in the band. He was one of the guys.
There's a lot of different
They had quite a few guys, but Steve was there from the beginning to the end. I think he missed a couple stretches since 2003, but...
Do we know what the Black Crowes are going to play, this new version? Are they going to play...
I think they're going to play
the hits.
Are
they going to play the hits? Okay,
yeah.
Good.
They could be a jam band, but
I
don't think that's really in their best interest.
July 29th, by the way, DTE.
Okay.
Wednesday night.
So there's no way he's coming over here?
It doesn't sound like he has the time. But he said he just replied and said he'd love to come on the show again.
But honestly,
actually, he said, yeah, sure thing. So I don't know if he'd love to, but he wants
to. He will. I think he'd do really well on this side of town. I really do.
You don't have to sell us on it.
It wasn't just about me.
He would do well. But he said he has family in Livonia. So.
Okay. Well, his family can't drive to Royal Oak.
Well, you can't drive to Livonia. Maybe it's disruptive
to them. I
want to
meet him. See, this sucks because I don't really want to make an appearance, but I want to meet him.
Saturday.
I feel like I'm going to go over there anyway, and then I might as well do it if I go over there.
You're losing reasons to say no because it's on a Saturday. You're not the main attraction.
I know.
If it doesn't go well, as we learned earlier.
Can you tell
Little won't be there.
You just ask him to give me like 24 hours. to okay. talk myself into it.
Yes.
I really want to meet him. and actually, a meet and greet, you know, with his book, it's not a big deal. It's really not. It's not like it's a 3-hour affair in a bar. That's work. But good for him. I'm glad he's doing. I'm glad he's getting around. His book is great, by the way. Hard to Handle is a fabulous book. If you like reading about rock and roll, I want to go back and defend Leif Garrett more. You know, there's more in that book too. There's a shit ton of great stuff in that book. What is the objection? Because
they don't know who he is.
Okay.
They don't have Google.
If I've read books about Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Who is way before my time, but honestly, he's a fascinating guy. Now he's not, Leif Garrett is not Frank Sinatra. Even the guy that was Frank Sinatra's agent had a great book because the Frank Sinatra's just crazy. I mean, the stories are really funny. I thought.
Well, if it's a good story, it's a good story.
Everybody hated it. Whatever.
It's like, that's, like I was saying about Judy Garland, story about she's on her way to the hospital but had to stop at the bar.
I know.
I mean, who can't relate to that story?
I must say, people who have serious problems with drugs or alcohol, their books tend to be really interesting.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of stuff. Okay. So I'll try and cram some material in here. Did you happen to see the CBS story this morning, CBS News, on Mississippi's parchment prison?
No. Uh-uh.
It's at 7:32 this morning. We should just play the story. I have to admit, I've evolved.
A story about a Mississippi prison. How can you know?
Okay,
interesting.
I know this may shock a lot of people, but it seems that the Mississippi prison system is the worst in the country. I mean, usually Mississippi is way at the top in math, science, English,
yeah,
SAT scores,
economy, yeah,
best everything. They're the most evolved. They're the most inclusive. They're the most everything. Mississippi is a fabulous state. Should we just excommunicate them from the United States of America?
There's a couple down there that might not. It might be worth getting
Mississippi,
rid of.
They just haven't cut it. I mean, how long have they been lasting everything?
Start carrying your weight, Mississippi.
Can we put them on probation, or can we say, we're moving you to Puerto Rico status? Okay, you're still a state, and that's about it.
Are they played out?
They're very played out. Anyway, Parchment Farms is where they have Mississippi's death row. And you know, I always think of death row. I don't know why. And most of my thoughts on prison probably come from when I was a kid. And you just figured that, you know, these people were sort of like sitting in a row of chairs waiting to be next.
Yeah.
And it's not any fun. And you just think about dying and that's all. But no, it's nothing like that. In fact, prison,
rules.
I never, for the life of me, I still don't understand how people maintain drug habits in prison. It's like, you're in prison. You're behind bars. You don't have any money. Who gives them fucking money? Oh, the women's side, that's different. Because if you're halfway good looking in your woman prison, you can get money from guys.
Yeah, but that could work the other way. Remember Escape from Dannemora? I mean, Tilly was bringing them all kinds of stuff.
It's true.
That actually made jail kind of fun.
That did look fun. It turns out in Mississippi, first of all, they slashed the budgets. So they don't have nearly enough guards. The gangs run the prison. Inmates are running the asylum. The gangs. And it's like, wait, gangs? How do you have gangs in prison? But, I mean, we've heard this forever, that gangs form. And, you know, if you're going to survive, I'm a white guy. I'm Epstein. I'm 65. How am I going to survive? Well, you got to start buying people stuff at the commissary or whatever. Or you join the Asian gang and they protect you from this gang.
I mean, I have a new life now. I help out my gang.
It sounds tougher than being on the streets of Oakland or Detroit or anywhere. I mean, doesn't it sound insane?
But, I mean, well, I guess some people get paroled, but can we do a prison where it's just people are stuck there and just not have any guards and just let the gangs run it and maybe they'll just airdrop food, make it like a Lord of the Flies?
That might be this prison, actually, you're describing.
We'll just airdrop food maybe once a week and let them govern themselves, let them figure it all out. They have their prison within their prison.
The tagline is calls for reform. Well, yeah, I think they might need a little reform since gangs are running the place. And since December 29th, by the way, at Parchment, where the death row is. By the way, death row prisoners have escaped. Can you believe death row prisoners have escaped?
No.
Isn't
I thought they would be under the...
Office control.
But then again, Epstein was allowed to commit suicide.
Or be killed.
No.
Be murdered. Didn't you hear Ricky Gervais? Yeah, yeah. I love how he dropped in like, hey, he's your friend.
Yeah. And he followed it up with another joke right after that was kind of underneath about, you know, pretty tough not using his jet or something like that, about flying in on his private planes. Such a great line.
There are so many butthurt people over Gervais.
Really? More?
Yeah. I was just on Twitter, and I was following around this conversation, and they were criticizing his jokes like, you know, that's not funny. Anybody knows that's not funny. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Okay. I
understand.
I don't want to go down this road, but what wasn't funny? Like, what? Just any joke about any mention of Prince Andrew is just not funny because, you know, children were hurt.
No, it was more like, you know, hey, when you follow up a joke that bombs with, I don't care, that's not funny.
Well, that's not what's meant.
First of all, the joke didn't bomb.
That's not really what's meant to be funny. That's his delivery anyway.
No, I don't know why I even followed something so mindless around. I guess I'm stunned when people, the fact that this appearance is even debatable is amazing to me. I think he's brilliant and he's funny.
He is brilliant.
And for people like Billy Porter to be so offended, he doesn't want me to have a voice. We're intelligent. We're artists. We get our say, too. It's like, yeah, you get your say. It's an award show. You're being celebrated. Why do you have to muck it up by bringing everybody down?
Ricky didn't say, you don't have a voice. He said, just not here. Nobody cares. And he's right. Nobody cares.
And Billy Porter's right, too. They're going to say what they're going to say. It doesn't matter. They could say that you'll be given 10,000 volts to the testicles if you start down the road of something political, and they would still say it.
There's nothing more joyous than Patricia Arquette's speech. That was just great. That's what people tune in for.
And Michelle Williams, too. That was a really nice topic. Okay, let's look at prison violence in Mississippi.
Inmates using contraband cell phones allegedly shot these images, although CBS News hasn't confirmed that independently. This is Parchman Farm, home to Mississippi's death row, and lately a killing field for warring prison gangs. Three inmates were murdered here in 3 days.
My little brother stabbed, beat up, just in a cell, and then they putting him in cells with the rivalry. How could you do that?
At least one lawsuit alleges barbaric prison conditions. Rats,
that's
open
a sister
sewage,
on the
abusive
outside.
Guards, corruption. Yet since 2014, Mississippi prison. Has slashed funding and staffing. Gangs like the Vice Lords and Black Gangster Disciples have thrived
inside. Names and everything.
Mississippi Governor Phil...
Terrible name for a gang, by the way.
Which one?
Well, the first one's cool. Vice Lords just sounds pretty sweet,
rats,
doesn't
it? Open sewage, abusive
guards,
corruption.
Was the other one Black Disciples?
It's too
yet since 2014, Mississippi has slashed funding and staffing. Gangs like the Vice Lords and Black Gangster Disciples have thrived inside. Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant.
We are going to stop it. We have it under control best we can.
But Mississippi's prison staffing is in crisis. Almost half the roughly 1,300 corrections positions in three major facilities remain unfilled. Salary is one issue. Even with a degree, guards start around $26,000, roughly
get this
the
next
national
stat.
Poverty level for a family of four. 65% of the state's corrections officers are women.
Why are 65% of the guards women?
Because men don't want the jobs.
Jerry Mitchell is the dean of Mississippi's investigative reporters. He has looked into its prison problems.
Are these state-owned? Are they privately run?
I think they're state-run. I'm pretty sure.
Problems for years.
Are the inmates, the gangs, really in charge inside?
They are in charge of where you sleep, where you eat, how much you get to eat. You have towers that are empty.
By the way, I don't take no orders from no women.
We've talked about locked up abroad.
Yes.
Stories about people who, you know, I'm in the UK, I don't have money to get home
to
the States.
You're a big fan of that Japanese prison.
I am a huge fan where they make the inmates march to their jobs, march to lunch, march back to their jobs, march back to their cells. And if you don't march properly, they start beating you. And they march. They don't have any problems. It's not that hard. But locked up abroad, you have, let's just say, I'm in the UK, I don't have money to fly home, and somebody comes in the bar and says, hey, how would you like a vacation in Bali for a couple weeks? And I'm like, oh, sounds great, but I don't even have the money to get home. And you go, oh, no, we'll pay $10,000. You just got to bring a couple suitcases back. Like, holy shit, that sounds great. And the people go, and they have this is the part that kills me. They have a fantastic time for about 12 days, and then they start to go, what are these bags? What's in these bags? I don't think I like this deal anymore.
Wait, why wouldn't they look in the bag?
Mark,
okay, sorry.
They've been given all this money.
Yeah.
They've been given this great vacation, which, you know, since you're going to be going away for 10 years to some shithole, thank God you're getting a good vacation. But the part that is the most incredible to me is they go to prison, they get found guilty, it's a clusterfuck, you know, it's a country, they don't speak the language, they have to, you know, it's just horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you feel sympathy for these people because they made one stupid mistake. But then they show you, you know, oh, and he was put in the most dangerous prison in Brazil, and then you look in there, and it's like, nobody even has a cell. They have people have babies in there.
Yeah, it's like a whole city. That's what I'm talking about. Just let the gangs run the city.
And they have barbecues and they sell barbecue.
Yeah, remember you're in Vandersloot's prison? That seemed like a really nice prison.
These places are just absolute madness, and there's no guards anywhere to speak of. And what he said is true. When you get in there, and these guys would describe it, they go, I didn't know where I was going to sleep and be safe. And so I had to meet with this guy, you know, Badger or somebody. And Badger says, well, if you do this, I'll let you sleep in that shithole corner where the open sewage is coming out. It's incredible. And then the next thing you know, they're on drugs. They become a junkie. And they, you know, oh, yeah, I started dealing heroin. And so I was doing it because I was so upset. And
come on,
then I quit heroin. And
nothing else to do. Why wouldn't you do a bunch of drugs in prison?
A lot of them do. A lot of these people are locked up abroad.
To do.
So I looked at it. How could they? What kind of a country is this that has prisons like this? Like America and Mississippi.
I'm starting to
It's
think,
exactly like that.
Yeah, I'm starting to think they're doing it the right way.
You Where know, to sleep?
Used to have guards that don't have guards now. And what do you do?
State officials admit the gangs are a problem, but they deny that the gangs are out of control. Mississippi.
They deny that the gangs are out of control.
Okay, first of all,
by definition, man.
By not denying that there are gangs themselves, that says something alone. How can you have fucking?
Why don't we just put up a big fence around Mississippi and turn it into the nation's prison and let them govern themselves?
That's not a bad idea. Yeah, whatever. Make your own little system.
Sorry, I mean,
doing it anyway.
Really losing much? Are there many natural resources in Mississippi we need to worry about?
Not anymore.
No.
So yeah, 65% are women. 65% female guards.
Ray Liotta did that movie, No Escape, where they drop them on the island.
What?
Exactly what you need.
It was a terrible movie.
I don't know that movie. That sounds awful.
That's the movie Ray came into WRIF for.
Really?
That's the reason I got to meet Ray Liotta, because of that horrible fucking movie. And I made the biggest mistake. I got an advance copy, and I watched it before Ray came in. I was like, oh my God, this movie's so bad. How am I going to talk to Ray Liotta about this horrible movie?
I kind of liked it.
Did you really?
You like it? Really?
I was a kid when I watched it, yeah.
Check the thermometer.
Oh boy.
See what it is.
It's
Ooh, Lance Henriksen was in it too. Bishop from Alien.
Yeah, so was Kevin Dillon.
Wayne, why don't you buy it right now? Let's watch it.
You son of a bitch.
I used to have it on VHS.
It's the thermometer. The thermometer. I'm going to predict it is 31 and 43. And I'm being generous.
All right. Let's see what the thermometer say.
Sounds like it's really topical. Like 50%. Maybe
critics, 41% audience.
Okay, I was close on the audience. I was two off.
Yeah.
I can't believe the critics gave it a 50.
A man from the future fights to survive in a society thrown back to the dark ages in the sci-fi adventure set in 2022.
Uh-huh.
Whoa. It's pretty intense.
So anyway, in Mississippi, the gangs are at war, and so that's why there's a riot at the prison. That's why five people have died since December 29th. And it sounds to me like they're nowhere close to having it under control. Open sewage, rats, corrupt guards, gangs.
That's a prison.
I know. I'm sure I'm just incredibly naive about the whole thing. But all right. So moving
on. As soon as you drop the soap, they rip your butt.
We're getting, really, like I said, there was a lot of content I wanted to get into today, and there just isn't, you know, with all that other stuff, there just wasn't really time, but we'll get back to it. I did want to talk about Iran and Trump, and I think we all know that I hate politics. I don't really like talking about politics, but this, you know, this is interesting. People are, you know, World War III.
They also just shot rockets at us, so that's cool.
I'm trying to talk about Iran.
Where'd they shoot the rockets?
10 rockets have hit an air base that house U.S. forces in
Anybody
Iraq.
Hurt?
In Iraq. I don't know. It just came across.
Why don't we have a breaking news sounder for that? That should have been Red Shovel breaking news.
Hey, this right here is some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. Hey, shit.
Rockets have hit.
Sounds a little flip.
Iranians have taken credit for rocket attacks on a base that housed U.S. troops.
Very interesting. Well,
that's not good.
Today, I checked Trump's approval rating, which, if you remember, when impeachment was going ahead, impeachment, what's that?
Oh, yeah, I forgot that's still going on, right?
Impeachment thing. Trump's approval rating was inching up through the entire impeachment, and when the break happened, I think it was around 43, some polls down at 44, 45, and I looked today, because I thought, well, the Iran thing has got to be bumping his approval rating. I didn't even know which way, honestly.
Well, I saw that it was like 43 approve of the strike and 38.
Oh, there's a poll on the strike.
Yeah.
Okay, it's got to be the same as his approval rating. It has to be, because no one, it doesn't matter what he does. He could beat off on 60 Minutes and he'd get 43% approval rating. I mean, seriously. He could nail Stormy Daniels on 60 Minutes.
Could he finish in 60 Minutes?
And do play-by-play for it, and he'd get 43% approval.
Imagine the ratings. He's right. Those would be the highest ratings ever if the president beat off on 60 Minutes.
He could gather together his entire fortune in cash and literally make it rain in every county in the country, and he would still be disapproved by 53%. 43.4 was the 538 number today, which means it barely moved. It hardly moved. And my right now, I'm in this position where I feel like I don't know if this is good or bad. I don't know.
The strike in Iran?
Yeah.
Because we don't know how they're going to respond.
No.
Right? So
well,
far,
now they've responded. So, yeah. You know, this will push the thing forward. But, you know, people to the left of me are insisting that, you know, we're on the brink of World War III. Well, first of all, can we talk about World War II for a second and World War I?
Yeah.
The entire world was in the war.
Yeah.
This is us and Iran. Is this going to? Do they really believe the entire world is going to be at war, yes. Like 2-1?
Some people do, yeah. Because you got to figure if there's any kind of strikes like that, the next thing you know, we got Israel on our side, probably yep. Saudi Arabia, because it's different, you know, Shia, Sunni.
Allies.
The next thing you know, Russia's in and Syria.
UK would be in.
Turkey, and yeah.
Well, okay, maybe they're right.
China would probably sit it out.
Maybe.
just wait to them. Pick up all the remnants.
I got to tell you, if I was running a country and somebody said, you got to pick sides here. What?
I know.
Anyway, so the people on my left really believe, they seem to believe, that we're on the verge of World War III. People on my right are saying, oh, my God, they had to take that guy out. He's horrible. Obama was too big a pussy to do it. Clinton was too big, you know, or Bush, I think. Bush and Obama had a chance and didn't.
Soleimani has been worse, though, in more recent times.
Okay. And I didn't really want to judge Bush or Obama for that. But the point was that people to the right of me feel that, oh, my God, they had to do this. This is great. It's long overdue. It's fabulous. He's killed all these Americans. He invented what's the explosive he invented?
What? I didn't know he invented an explosive.
The ones that the IED. Is
IED? Yeah, IEDs.
Yeah, I think
right.
That's his.
He invented IEDs?
Yeah, he trademarked it and everything.
Really?
Copyrighted.
He's got a patent.
I keep seeing that as well. I keep seeing IEDs associated with it.
I've read it enough times that I believe it. But again, I don't know what I believe anymore. But anyway, that's what I'm saying. It's just so weird to have, you know, generally you think when this country, any country, is in a thing like this, that there's some sort of unanimity. I mean, you always have your 10% or your 20% who, you know, well, we didn't have to do that. But it seems it has moved no one from their perch, whether you're on the left or the right, whether you hate Trump, love Trump. There's no movement whatsoever over this, except that it seems it pushes people further into, that was great. You know, we had the ball. This president has balls. He says dumb things, but I love everything he does. people on the left are like, oh, it's another fucking, he's a nutcase. You never know what he's going to do. And
do you want to hear the poll on specifically? On
yeah, I do. I do. I'm curious.
9 in 10 Democrats. And only 1 in 10 Republicans disapprove, and 5 in 10 Independents disapprove.
So it's split right across the board.
Yep. But overall, strongly disapprove of Trump's actions in Iran is 39%. That's up 10 points from before, you know, the missile launch.
Okay. How many strongly approve?
53 adults overall disapprove, which is an increase of 9. I don't see
approve. It's probably 43.4, the same thing as 538.
Following the strike, approval of his performance in office, so not just the strike, is 41%, 54.
This is
Reuters poll, so.
Okay, so
71% of Americans believe the U.S. will be at war with Iran within the next few years, up 20 points from before the strike.
Next few years?
Yeah.
Are we really going to point to what happened the other day in 3 years?
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, if things keep going.
Okay.
If he's still president.
I have a very serious issue, shallow thought, an SIST. And I want to say, I haven't heard anyone say this, but you're probably going to tell me otherwise. Okay. Qassem Soleimani,
mm-hmm.
the terrorist. And again, I still can't get over that apparently
the terrorist. Iran's parliament today has labeled every person who works in our Pentagon a terrorist today.
Well, it does seem
makes it okay for them to attack him.
Assuming that he is a terrorist, as our media tells us.
Oh, he is.
He's a terrorist.
The world believes he is. So that's enough.
It would seem that maybe word hasn't gotten to Iran yet that he's actually a terrorist because, you know, I was watching today and this guy is so fucking important to Iran. They stampeded and killed 56 people at his funeral.
That's amazing.
What the fuck is that?
I mean, the bare minimum.
I mean, if he's
at
a family member that you were really crazy about and you really wanted to get, you know, close or something, yeah. But this is a terrorist who is. I mean,
most people.
None of these people know him.
No one wants to go to a funeral. Why are these people stampeding to go to a funeral?
It is really weird. I really feel like there was an announcement. We don't know. We don't understand. It was said in a language we don't get, or some kind of some facsimile of the language. Or there's some internal Iran email where they really said, everybody has a day off. Get in the streets. Chant death to America. Stampede. Whatever. Show how nuts you are for this guy.
The stampede happened in his hometown, so I imagine there's just not much to do.
56 dead?
Maybe they like events.
Okay. Well,
oh my God. Nice exclamation point on the conversation.
Lighten
right
up the mood a little bit.
And
look how hot Soleimani thinks he is there. That's the picture. That's his
A+. Oh, he is in love with
himself. A+ outfit, that military outfit.
The other thing that's
great now.
So incredible was and I need to just get off of Twitter, but there was a whole
how do you think he is there?
Look how closely trimmed his beard is.
Yeah.
I think he, I don't know if he waxes his eyebrows or waxed his eyebrows, but he loves the way his eyebrows are shaped.
Yeah.
He's got the tan. I think he's got I think he goes to the tanning place. I mean, he's really tan.
Does he need to?
Maybe not. But he's, don't you think he's tan? I mean, it looks like he's sun.
Yeah. There's
sun
tan lines on him.
He loves the
bikini
way he looks.
Tan lines, too.
Thong tank.
Yes. Don't you think? That guy?
Probably.
What's up, Silver Fox?
Okay. I feel like I'm going to get really embarrassed. Qassem Soleimani.
Yes.
Why is there no U after Q? It's Q-A-S-S-E-N.
Well, there's no U after Q in Qatar either. Qatar, whatever you want to spell it.
Is this not abnormal?
Uh-oh.
I always thought, didn't you always learn in school there's always a U after Q?
Yeah.
This guy is such a fucking terrorist. He doesn't even put the U in his name.
Yeah,
that's fucking insane.
Murdered the U. Play by different rules.
Didn't they teach you in school that U is always after Q?
Yeah.
So why does
he
have a U?
Qatar always freaked me out. I never understood why.
Who does Qatar think they are?
I don't know. They're anti-U over there.
Anyway, I was also seeing where other people were so upset. These are Americans, some politicians, and they keep talking about, he said they had 52 sites picked out to bomb, you know, for the 52 hostages back in 79, which I don't think a lot of people you know, if you're younger, you probably don't even remember that or know about it.
I don't remember it. I know, but it started Nightline.
It did. Yeah, because it was America Held Hostage. It'd be like, 3 days, America Held Hostage. And then Ted Koppel wound it into, kind of weaved it into Nightline, which is a great success.
When we point to that, do they always point to when we kicked out the Shah, and which I only know from the movie Argo, and install their own government over there?
Yeah, return the Shah. They want us to return the Shah, who is sick, getting medical treatment in the United States, and they want us to return him, and then they wanted to have, you know, a satellite broadcast of them burning him in a cage or something, you know. And so we kind of like, well, he's my friend. He's a little rough around the edges.
See how many steps this always goes back to other things? No, and it was divided after World War One.
I don't know how people make sense of it and feel so absolutely certain their viewpoint's right. It's crazy. But anyway, I keep seeing these stories, and some of them were politicians, Democrats particularly, which doesn't surprise me, but they're making such a to-do over the 52, in some case, cultural sites. Yeah. And, I mean, you almost feel like, wow, they must really love those cultural sites. Or
it's a dick thing to say.
It's a really dick thing to say. You mean saying that you're so upset about it?
It's a dickhead thing to say, like, hey, we're going to blow up, you know, the equivalent of your Statue of Liberty and your Mount Rushmore and stuff like that. That's an asshole thing to say.
Well, I think they haven't walked it back, but Pompeo, who I saw on Sunday, said, we're not going to do anything that's not within the law, okay? Just get over it. And I don't know what their plans really are.
I just want to finish this point.
Wouldn't it be nice if Patricia Arquette or these people who were so upset about these cultural sites, I don't even know what sites they're talking about, to be honest. Wouldn't it be nice if they got just almost close to as upset about the terrorist killing American people?
Yeah.
I mean, really, they're that upset about the cultural sites, but
citizens
I'm not really
dying.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think that would there'd be some equality or close to equality there, but no, you don't see that.
I'm trying to find his response to that because he was on Rush Limbaugh. Trump was?
Yeah.
Trump was on Limbaugh?
He was. Yeah. He gave him an exclusive.
Yeah. Today?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Today or yesterday?
I'm sure Rush didn't kiss his ass at all, did he?
I only heard a few clips.
Yeah.
But
I'm kidding. No, I'm sure he did.
But they asked him about the cultural sites, and Trump goes, well, that's not how it works. You can't just threaten us. That's not how it works. I got to find the whole quote because he's basically doubling down on the whole cultural sites thing.
Elizabeth Warren, first of all, this idea that we're all going to be tried or people are going to be tried for war crimes for some cultural site.
Look, Elizabeth Warren's opinion doesn't count right now because it's totally political, whatever she says.
Elizabeth Warren said today, we're at the edge of war. I'm not kidding.
Well, Joe, I mean, hey, these attacks that are going on right now, and I'm sure by the time people hear this, they'll know way more about it. It seems like, you know.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Do we know? We don't know if anybody's been hurt or injured.
I haven't seen a report on who's hurt or injured, no. I only see that there's some videos out there. There is a confirmation that it happened. So,
I tell you, they have a lot of balls, don't they? I knew something was coming.
I'm kind of surprised, actually.
I'm a little surprised, too. Well, if they kill people who are just regular service people, mm-hmm. you know, say a couple dozen of those, versus a fucking terrorist,
yeah,
it's not too cool.
The other fun thing Trump's told Rush Limbaugh is that he said that Mark Zuckerberg told him that he's number one on Facebook.
So the ratings are great.
Number one on...
This war will have the best ratings of any war. but
honestly, what does the phrase number one on Facebook mean?
Who fucking knows?
Number one topic?
Ratings? I don't know. Views? Clicks? I don't know. Nobody has ever cared about ratings more than Donald Trump. Ever. And I mean, people who've been in multiple TV series, he cares more than anyone. And he cares
about... And we have hundreds of millions of people. You know, we have a tremendous amount of people. Just on one site, I'm up to, I guess, close to 70 million people.
Yeah, and they're jealous as they can be of that. Now, of course they
Facebook,
want you to stop.
I had dinner with Mark Zuckerberg the other day, and he said, I'd like to congratulate you in front of a large group of people, so I'm not there. But he said, I'd like to congratulate you. You're number one on Facebook.
Cancel Zuckerberg.
And, you know, it's incredible. And that's...
Wait a minute. You had dinner with Zuckerberg?
I did.
Oh, wait till the world finds out about that. Oh, I guess they just did.
Why?
You have semi-breaking news. I guess a couple of people might have reported it, but they're not like you. So I just got a list. The TSL Power 50, the number one show on... radio head is a guy named Rush Limbaugh. Did you ever hear of him? Rush Limbaugh, number one.
Pause for a second.
They have you.
Pause. Isn't it hilarious that he not only cares about his own ratings, and I put it in quotes because, you know, in so many cases, like, I don't really know what we mean about ratings, but he, TV ratings, sure, all those ratings. Yeah. He so cares about ratings.
He's a draw.
But he also cares about everyone else's ratings.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
He helps people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when he's coming on. Yeah. Well, who was it that said, oh, God, I'll think of the story. Go ahead and just finish writing.
There's only like 20 seconds.
50 left. Most influential and most listened to streaming talk shows in the country. Rush Limbaugh, number one. So I hope you saw that. But now we've just made your interview. But your viewers have to know that. Your listeners have to know that. Number.
See, he made his interview. I mean, that's pretty big.
God, I can't. I'm shocked you went on Rush Limbaugh. I guess I shouldn't be.
Really?
I'm just. Has he ever gone on Rush Limbaugh before? Recently?
He's been on Alex Jones numerous times, Drew.
Yeah, I'm sure he's been on there. Yeah.
Recently?
Recently, I'm not sure.
I just feel like I would know that. I mean, he's been president for over three years. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Liz Warren says we're at the edge of war, and Joe Biden, he said...
Does he even know that what's happened? Has anyone told him yet?
He said it was a horrible decision, and to drive the point home, he actually said, I swear this isn't a quote, he said, Iranians are chanting death to America.
Oh my God, Joe.
Wait, Joe, they chant death to
they
America a lot.
For 40 years.
Yeah, that's not that unusual. I wouldn't judge a decision on whether they're chanting death to America.
No, it's their number one hit. It's their favorite thing.
I just don't know if that's a good measure of what we've done or how they feel. And then also on this topic, what I feel like a jerk saying this. Where's impeachment? Are the articles still with Nancy Pelosi? She hasn't sent them over yet. Now, why would she not have sent them over? Isn't that just business as usual? You just send them. You have them. You send them.
So 2000 late. We're talking about.
Did
so
Bill Clinton? I mean,
so 2019, Drew.
Were Bill Clinton's articles of impeachment held up for any reason?
I don't know.
I don't probably remember not. That. I don't remember anything like that.
Yeah. But who knows?
I mean, isn't
it
weird that this impeachment thing is going on and it seems like it's on page 8?
I guess they have to agree to the rules. Hey, that's the genius of a Tef shooting these, killing that terrorist.
The last thing I saw.
Because Clinton did it too!
That's
God, man.
The last thing I saw.
Look at that today. Breaking news, of course, because everything on NBC Nightly News is breaking news. Trump backs away from the cultural
side. I thought you said he doubled down.
He did on Limbaugh. I got to find that audio.
Okay. Apparently, he's gone on another show.
That's not how it works.
Meanwhile, the Republic of Iraq, their office in Detroit, if you wanted to offer condolences for Qassam without a Q, Soleimani, they were open for condolences from 2 to 5 today.
Oh, okay.
In Detroit.
Great.
Isn't that nice? Oh, and
nice. He wasn't even Iraqi, was he? Remember when they used to hate each other, Iraq?
And you know, I didn't. Frankly, I was like, so wait, close. Iraq, Iran? What's going on here? And then also on this topic, Rashida Tlaib.
Oh.
Did you happen to see her tweet
No.
from the other day? No. She's deleted it, but there are screenshots of it. She tweeted on the siege of the U.S. Embassy. Americans have spent decades raping and pillaging my people. What goes around comes. Is that fake?
That's fake.
Is it fake?
Oh, yeah.
Where did it get picked up at?
Facebook.
Oh, so
no, this wasn't on Facebook. I didn't see it on Facebook.
That's where it spread.
So okay. Someone made a fake someone made Twitter a fake, and shared
yeah,
it on Facebook.
Yeah. It includes a picture of Tlaib, and then it has a screenshot of a
See, but how are you supposed Facebook to know that?
Yeah.
I don't know. And they claimed that it was deleted, but they had a screenshot of it. And actually, it was on top of another tweet.
And that's an issue.
You know, it's funny. I actually, for a brief second, I thought, this can't be real. This seems like it'd be bigger news. But then again, some things aren't big news when you think they're big news.
So people shouldn't look at Facebook. Unless it's our page.
Yeah, and like us while you're there, please. one more thing on that topic. And we're going to have to wrap it up because we're at 2:28. I know you guys you have a life. Not really.
I know.
Not much of a life. Okay, this I read today. 2024 poll. Who is your top Ooh. Republican for president?
Junior.
In 2024.
Is it Donald Trump Jr.?
That's what I was wondering immediately, because I
and,
remember when
oh,
I said this.
AOC.
Republican. Republican.
Oh, just Republican. Just Republican. Okay.
I said this, I think it was when Chelsea Clinton's book was out or something. I just, like, it dawned on me, it just came to me at that moment. It was like, oh, my God, I could imagine a world where Chelsea Clinton runs against Don Trump Jr. And then the more I thought about it, I thought, no, I don't think. But she is running for Congress. Isn't she going to run for Congress?
I thought she said no.
Oh, she did. Okay. Well, anyway, I mean, the more I thought about it, though, the more I thought that fucking Don Trump Jr. is going to run for president. He is. And I don't know if he'll get anywhere, but in the poll, Pence was number one. 40% said they consider him a strong candidate.
Because vice president, yeah.
Just because of the course. Title he holds now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be ridiculous myself. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump Jr., 29%.
What?
That's fucking unbelievable.
It is. What really? About McConnell?
Is Romney
didn't even show
there?
Up. Nikki Haley, 26%.
Oh, yeah.
Ivanka Trump, 16%. Marco Rubio, 15%. Pompeo, 13%.
Oh, Marco Rubio?
Yeah, Marco Rubio, 15%.
What about Jeb?
Jeb did not show up.
Ted Cruz?
I don't think he had the energy to be in the poll.
Low energy? Yeah. What about Ted Cruz?
Jeb Bush is a low energy person.
What about Lion
no,
Ted?
No Ted
L-Y-I-N
Cruz.
L-Y-I-N apostrophe.
I don't, you know.
What if Junior runs and runs against Hunter Biden? Come on, you'd be excited for an election then. His trial's being delayed, by the way, Hunter Biden's trial.
Yeah, I saw that. He demanded a delay because he said, I forgot what he said.
But. Something about his money, because they want his money.
Oh, I got to tell you, this is one of those weird confluences where him not paying child support for that kid was a huge, huge fucking mistake.
Yep.
Huge mistake. His dad must be ready to fucking shoot him in the head.
His dad doesn't even know.
Oh,
they don't talk about anything.
That's right. I forgot about that. I'm sorry. How silly of me. And then George Lopez apparently is, it sounds to me like he's getting a visit from Secret Service. And this was 2 days ago. And it seemed like there was nothing much about it. And I thought this is really going to go away because you cannot, it is illegal to joke about killing the president. It's like going up to, and don't do this. But I saw someone do it, and I saw what a problem it was for them. Do not, you cannot say jokingly that you have a bomb in your bag.
Oh, at the airport.
Yeah, they will arrest you.
Yeah, they should.
And so George Lopez, there was a tweet about Iran offering $80 million bounty to kill Donald Trump. And George Lopez retweeted and commented that we'll do it for half. And with that, I know.
Good one.
With that, of course, every tattletale on Twitter starts tweeting at Secret Service.
God.
Like, really? Good one.
I mean, the whole thing made me laugh. George Lopez, it doesn't really make me laugh. It's like, that's so stupid to joke about killing a president. And George Lopez, by the way, you know, if you think, oh, it's a joke, come on. Well, yeah, I know it's a joke. I think it's a joke. George Lopez, though, if you tweet, if you Google George Lopez, you'll find out that, and I remember now, he peed on Trump's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and he filmed it. And then he got in a fight with someone. Was it at Hooters?
What? How could anyone get in a fight at Hooters?
I don't know. Casino?
Oh, it was a casino. You're right.
Didn't
it was
he
a casino.
Pass out at Windsor Casino, like in the middle of the...
Maybe that's what I'm confusing it with.
Right?
Didn't he, George is...
Like, they're right in front of his room. He just passed out in the hallway.
A little few bumps in a row for George.
Good job.
Yeah, here he is.
There he is. That looks comfy. I don't blame him.
You know, I don't
come
know
on, what, as if multiple people have been passed out in the casino hallway.
Maybe there's something wrong with me, because we've talked to George Lopez. He's a nice person.
Sure.
He seems like a nice guy. He's had a great career. I never thought he was that funny.
No, isn't it the fault of Sandra Bullock? Isn't she the one that found him or really promoted him?
I don't remember. I mean, I've followed his career, and we've talked to him because he has a lot of people that love him, and he, you know, he does very well, but I just never thought he was funny. I don't know. You know, I'm not big on ethnic humor either. It's not, it doesn't
it's
always
a little
make me laugh.
Tired.
I kind of felt that way. People, I mean, a lot of people really like it, though. He's done well. But this was really stupid, and especially on the heels of he is so anti-Trump, I thought, you're the last guy that should be making a joke about that, because that's not funny, and it is I mean, it's a big deal to talk in any way, shape, or form about doing that.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that today I saw a story where they said that Secret Service is going to pay him a visit. And I don't know if Secret Service said that or the person was speculating that or what, but it was like, wow, that thing just went to the moon. And
red team go, red team go.
I was similarly really surprised, and I saw TMZ talk about it today. And, of course, a couple of people go, oh, it's so obviously a joke. And it's like,
it is, but
wow.
He's president.
So this whole thing about, you know, saying things that aren't true and getting millions of hits or saying you're going to, you know, take money to kill the president and getting a couple million whacks or clicks or whatever. We're so down that road of not having any responsibility for telling the truth or for saying irresponsible things that there are a significant number of people who really feel that, oh, come on, that's stupid. Because in my opinion, there's only one response to that. That is so stupid. Yeah. And if you don't know that it's illegal to threaten the president or even suggest or joke about it, then I thought everyone knew that.
Look at Brandon's computer.
Brandon, shame on you.
I'm sorry. It's your Twitter.
At what point? Oh, no, it is. Oh, it is.
I've been trying to refresh Twitter because I want to see if there's updates to this Iran thing. And
Brandon is an excuse for everything.
I went to your Twitter, and for some reason, I don't know who followed this on your account.
Wait, of all the places you go for an update on Iran, you went to my Twitter?
Yeah. Twitter's the best for news. You find out.
My Twitter.
Yes. Well, yours is the
you
one.
You couldn't go to trending and
how
maybe?
Do you know that at Big Breast Picks wasn't going to have a good update on the Iran?
That's what you just heard.
Did you think they had breaking news on Big Breast Picks?
No, I did.
Look at those rockets,
which
man.
I do follow.
All I did was I went to twitter.com and then this automatically played. That's why we heard it. And it was just. It's this chick with massive tubes.
Why is the music so loud?
I don't know, but she is.
Yeah, well, anyway,
good follow, Big Breast Pick.
In reading comments, I was absolutely stunned at how many people thought this is a joke. Get out of here. Anybody who thinks this is a big deal, fuck you.
He's the president, and that's what the Secret Service does. No, they determine if it's a joke.
I thought there were some things that were absolutes that everyone understood, like the bomb at the airport thing. I don't know. Are there people who defend someone who said, I got a bomb, and got arrested?
If it's George Lopez.
Did someone get arrested? Somebody did get arrested for that, didn't they? A celebrity? Wait a sec. Or they didn't get arrested.
Who's the guy we like that we've interviewed plenty of times? Comedian, Silicon Valley, drawn a total blank.
T.J. Miller.
Didn't T.J. Miller get in trouble for saying there was a bomb on a train?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did. He got arrested.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
and on the subject of telling the truth and not telling the truth and whether it matters or not, which it really doesn't seem to matter, today... And I was really surprised to see this. CNN settled with Nicholas Sandman from Covington High. And Nicholas Sandman, he was the guy, the 16-year-old kid who originally, when we first met Nicholas Sandman, he had smirked at a Native American Vietnam vet by the name of Nathan Phillips while his classmates chanted, "Build the wall! Build the wall!" because they don't like Native Americans. And everyone ran with this thing. That fucking kid doxed him. I mean, celebrities were blasting this kid. His picture was everywhere. And I was positively stunned that a 16-year-old... I mean, it used to be... And this is true. If you are accused of raping someone and you're 16 years old, your picture and your name will not appear... In news sites. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, generally they protect juveniles. You know, remember the juvenile that shot his mother in Rochester a few years back?
No, I don't.
I don't
either.
They basically reported that she was murdered,
yeah,
and they believed her son did it, but you wouldn't see him named, you would see his picture, yeah. And there's a lot of cases like that. But smirk at Nathan Phillips, and you become, you know, the subject of people are reviled. And
make America great. The whole thing was really
he had the MAGA hat on.
It was about Trump.
He had the MAGA hat on. So it turns out that because Brandon came in that day and he's like, "Yeah, this is the weirdest story." And there was a long form video of what happened, and we watched it. And both of us, I think, were surprised when we saw the Black Hebrew Israelites, this really strange small group, had come over to where all these kids were waiting for a bus, and they'd start screaming insults at the Covington kids, and there were black kids with Covington, too, and they were calling him the N-word, and it was really nasty, and it really seemed to me that somebody was going to do something, and then here comes Nathan Phillips, the Native American Vietnam vet who's not a Vietnam vet, in fact.
That's right.
He repaired refrigerators until he went AWOL.
Yeah.
He was anything but a Vietnam vet. He'd never been to Vietnam. He went drumming up to Sandman, and these guys were kind of lined up, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, people said that he was smirking and mocking Nathan Phillips. Now, I always said from the beginning, he's like, you know, if I was 16 and some guy, Native American, came drumming up to me and was staring in my face drumming, I don't know what the fuck I would do.
You
but
leave.
Nonetheless, I don't know. I mean, I thought those people were sort of, he expected them to make, a part like the Red Sea. I don't know what he thought was going to happen, but his smirk was virtually criminal. And I saw, and after Brandon and I watched the video, and then I started reading stories, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And CNN had one of the worst. There was a talk show that was on, and it, like, broke. And they went into, oh, my God, this is terrible. Can you believe these terrible kids? And the principal of the school even came and said, I will be punished. We'll do whatever, including suspension, expulsion. Because it was being reported how absolutely horrible this was. Well, if they had watched the video, they would have known that they were not chanting to build the wall and that these black Hebrew Israelites had started the whole thing. And if anybody was mean-spirited or ugly, it was them. They were horrible. And even after everyone knew that, no one came down on the black Hebrew Israelites. No one ever did. They were never interviewed on the Today Show.
I remember that main video that got spread was from a Twitter account that looked like a teacher from California, and it was really a Brazilian troll farm that specifically used the clip video because, boy, these other countries really know what riles us up,
know,
don't they?
They do.
Man.
And I, you know, having watched the CNN show that was on when this happened, and I don't think you can find it anymore. I don't think it's online anymore because I've looked for it. We talked about it. The host was, her name was Cup, C-U-P-P.
Oh,
yeah,
S-C-Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
CJ or AJ Cup or something.
S-C-Cup.
SC Cup, whatever it was. Anyway, I couldn't find the video, but I did see it when this happened, and it was like the most blistering, as far as Nicholas Sandman, that he was so horrible. Nathan Phillips, a hero. He's a Vietnam veteran, blah, 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 blah. And even when it was determined that he was lying about being a Vietnam veteran, nobody really gave him shit. And I thought he had a lot to do with creating this because he wasn't nice about it. And when Sandman was on TV and he said, I was just trying not to, you know, create a scene or react to him or whatever. The next day, because so many people were angry, they interviewed Nathan Phillips, not about not being a Vietnam vet, but about Nicholas Sandman in his interview. And all he could say was, I turned it off in 30 seconds. Obviously, he's got a publicist and they told him what to say. And it was like, why are you being such a dick to this kid? What is your problem? And Nathan Phillips has a rather checkered past.
You've probably seen it by now, the viral video sweeping the internet of a mob of MAGA hat-wearing high school students surrounding a Native American chanting and drumming in the nation's capital at the indigenous
people's
march. I
thought it was Aaron.
The native elder was identified as Nathan Phillips, a member of the Omaha Nation and a Vietnam vet. He and others were harassed and taunted by students from Covington Catholic High School, a private all-boys school in Kentucky, who, according to the school's Facebook page, were in D.C. attending the March for Life. As the students clashed with another group, Phillips walked between them in an attempt to defuse the situation.
Yeah, good job.
The videos have drawn outrage from all corners. The communications director with the Roman Catholic Diocese of Covington released a brief statement today saying, in part, we condemn the actions of the Covington Catholic High School students toward Nathan Phillips specifically and Native Americans in general. The matter is being investigated, and we will take the appropriate action up to and including
expulsion. Thanks for listening to the podcast.
Congresswoman Deb Haaland.
It goes on for another 2 minutes.
Are there guests on the show?
Let me see.
Speed up to the guests, because they all pile in. And it's interesting, because none of them...
Why doesn't he move, though? They keep showing that video. It's like, can't that kid just move?
Yeah, but why should he be reviled worldwide?
I'm not saying
he stood
should.
There. He was standing there. He drummed up to him.
Well, everyone else moved. That was a $1 million move by not moving.
Didn't they just kind of circle around? Which, by the way, Nathan Phillips said they were threatening him, or that he was afraid that it was going to get violent because they circled around. They thought it was like cool or something, I think. But anyway, the treatment. And I remember, too, that suddenly, after about a day, everybody realized that, oh, wow, that isn't really what happened. There's this other group who were yelling and screaming the N-word and other things at this Covington group, and they started doing stupid cheers because they thought it would drown them out. And so I just looked it up today as I was looking at the CNN settlement story. I looked up the Washington Post, and their headline was, this is the day later. Viral standoff between a tribal elder and a high schooler is more complicated than it first seemed.
Oh, that's true. And it certainly was.
That's what the Today Show tried to do. There's more to this story. It's like, no, there isn't more to the story. You didn't watch the whole story. You just ran with it. And so anyway, the 16-year-old kid was, I mean, I could not believe the vitriol for this kid. It was unbelievable. And it's like, you know, I don't know why he's wearing a MAGA hat. I don't think a 16-year-old, I wouldn't want my 16-year-old wearing a MAGA hat because of the way people respond to it, if nothing else. And sure, anybody can wear anything they want anywhere, anytime. It's America. Well, it is America.
America!
America! But it was, in my opinion, it was the MAGA hat that all these media were reacting to, and the fake tweet, which had created this
spread like wildfire.
Yeah, they created this illusion that this kid was trying to troll a Native American, and that his classmates were screaming "Build the wall." And honestly, I thought, I can't believe 16-year-olds are really like thinking and chanting about the wall. Is that what 16-year-olds think about these? I don't know. But anyway, CNN had said that they would not settle, that they would fight this, and they would prove that they didn't do anything wrong. And the Washington Post said the same thing. Now, I don't know if the Washington... Do we know anything about the Washington Post and Nicholas Sandman?
Didn't that one get dropped?
Did it get dropped?
I think it did, because the way the law worked, at least where they were, is they had to request a retraction first, and they did. They retracted it once after the lawsuit was filed. That's the way I understood it, last I saw.
Yeah, the judge dismissed the libel suit with the Washington Post.
Well, he's suing, this will be very interesting. I doubt it'll go anywhere. He's suing a number of outlets. Some were more irresponsible than others. Mm-hmm. And then he's also suing celebrities on Twitter who had huge followings, who just, you know, dox him, that little racist brat. And I've never really heard of anyone being sued on Twitter for like a public event sort of thing, a news event.
Well,
like
Elon
that?
Musk.
Yeah, pedo
but
guy.
He won.
Exactly.
And Elon Musk, I thought that was unforgivable. I mean, the private investigator and going through his trash and doubling down.
Dancing? See him dancing?
Musker?
Yeah.
Who's he dancing
China?
With?
In China, yeah. Really? He was coming down. They opened up their delivery of Teslas in China, and so he started boogieing. Was not awkward at all. Then he took off his jacket and it was really weird.
Yeah, he's stripping.
Can he boogie?
No. No.
Of course not.
No. Can he deliver cars either? Actually, they delivered a lot more cars than anybody thought.
You want to get us out of here, Brandon?
Sure do.
We're at the 2:47 mark.
I know. Even without the time vampire here.
I know. We vampired our own show. We made up for Maz. Oh, Maz. Well, you know, I do appreciate what Maz has contributed, not just here, but on 105.1. See, it sounds like he's fired or something. That's really not what happened.
I thought he was coming in today.
No one hires someone for one day a week on a show. It's not done.
Yeah, we didn't even get into Pat Sajak's daughter.
Nepotism!
I feel like there's more nepotism than anywhere in the world. Probably because I listen to too many podcasts. And I think I mentioned Tom Bernard in Minneapolis does that show with his
Tom Tabak
daughter.
And Mike, Tom and Mike Tabak.
A lot of podcasts have guys with their wives. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Which, yeah, that sounds like fun listening.
I know. I just don't like that kind of show.
No.
So I can't say. There's a category for those, though.
Really?
Relationships.
God.
I know. I feel like iTunes has created podcast categories so that more shows can say they're ranked.
Probably. That's pretty smart.
Yeah, it is smart. How many people would be in the relationship category? Probably a lot, actually.
Let's just join the relationship category.
You know, that's a good idea. If there's fucking true crime people in our category, what kind of bullshit is that? Oh, Lordy.
Oh, man.
Anyway, let's see. Tomorrow, Trudy's here, so it'll seem like a normal day. And
won't be normal because there's another Soul of Detroit recording.
Oh, boy. Tonight?
Oh, tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow. Okay.
It'll be released in 3 months.
When will the notes be available? Jeez. You got Hemingway to write those?
Ever thought that size made a difference? Till I spent a night in jail with you. It's hard to relax your sphincter when you're crying, but I laid there and bit the pillow like you told me to. Prison love, prison love. It's when your cellmate fits like a glove.